Morris.
All right, welcome to the next episode of 8-4 Play, the only podcast about Japan
only.
Games and Japanese games ever.
One and only.
The only one ever made. I'm your host, Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald. With me, the other three that make up the 8-4, if you can follow that. To my right is JJ, Power Rangy Epperson.
Yes. Oh, what? Yeah, I said that the other day. Power Rangy. It's very Power Rangy.
Describing a game as very Power Rangy.
All right.
Low voice there is John McFlurry, Ricciardi.
Yes.
Ricciardi.
McFlurry.
McFlurry's.
We should talk about that later, huh?
We'll talk a little bit about that.
Our little date.
In a bit, yeah. And rounding out the cast, fan favorite, Hiroko Ms. Pac-Man Minamoto.
Hi.
I had to give you that because I wanted to tease that we're going to talk about the new Pac-Man game.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have really anything else.
So, okay.
Hiroko has a Ms. Pac-Man book from like 1981 that's still in like mint condition.
I mean, that's why I...
Yeah.
Right.
Is it How to Beat Ms. Pac-Man?
No, it's just a picture book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and also have that little... What do you call those things?
Oh, the arcade game. She has the little mini. Remember those mini arcade games?
Yeah, those like Coleco ones.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they were so cool.
But terrible. I bet that's worth like shitloads of money now.
Probably.
Also worth shitloads of money. Our last guest, very special guest, who we've been planning to have on for a while. It's the perfect time of year. His time of year, Mr. David Green Giant Abrams, otherwise known as Cheapy D.
Thank you. That was a great introduction.
I've always wanted to say Cheapy D. I don't know why that is.
You're not the first person to say it that way.
Wait, do they? Really?
Sure. They
Wait,
say
what?
It every which way you can think of.
I thought I made that up.
No, sorry.
Oh,
there's a lot of people on the streets who are listening to me, and they...
Well, for people...
Especially in Japan.
For right. people who aren't listening to you, for people who don't know, why don't you just tell everybody what's your deal?
My deal is I run a video game deal site called cheapassgamer.com where we tell you where to buy video games for cheap.
You're supposed to be like, maybe you've heard of it on a little site. I don't know.
Well,
cheapassgamer.com.
Sure. Well,
kind of a big deal.
No.
But for people who don't know, Cheapy lives here in Tokyo. I don't know. Probably most of your fans do, but probably more casual guys of your site don't. But we thought... this episode is very loosely kind of going to be themed around Black Friday. We're going to start off with some deals before kind of descending into the usual madness, which will be just kind of a mix of news and what we've been playing and a bunch of disorganized crap feedback.
Yes,
I mean, it's really random. I'm looking at a list of what we've been playing right now. It's a really random mix of new games and old games and downloadable games and full games and... There's even another iPhone game in there.
Oh, God.
And a bunch of other crap. And then we're finally going to do feedback, kind of like our first little foray into listener feedback because you demanded it.
That's right.
starting off, so probably, hopefully, a lot of people are in line somewhere at Best Buy, somewhere freezing their ass off, waiting to get into a store. And we're going to now tell them the deals that they probably should be sitting home doing online rather than actually going out to the stores. Aren't all the good deals really anymore? Amazon matches pretty much everything.
Yeah, pretty much Amazon will match 90% of the stuff that comes out.
Right.
And the other stuff you're probably not going to get anyway because it's going to sell out in...
Right.
2 minutes for the people who stayed out all
the
night.
Doorbuster specials.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I can't imagine ever. I don't care how much money I have or don't have. I cannot imagine putting myself through that type of pain.
I've done it. I did it for something. I did it for like a PS3, like a Bluetooth headset or something. It was like $20. I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna get my Bluetooth headset. I was at the Best Buy in San Francisco.
This was on a Black Friday?
This was on a Black Friday morning. I mean, it was a block from my house so I could walk, but it was like a riot was about to break out at any second. And this is in like a very, like, not a bad part of San Francisco, normally well-mannered people, but I mean, there were cops there. Thank God the cops showed up and like brought order to the line because anybody who looks like they're cutting in line, people are drinking. I mean, it was not like a pretty scene. Like anything could have set off the whole thing into a riot. So... yeah, the sooner people can just stay home and do this shit online at cheapassgamer.com, the better. That's no, but right. Seriously, so what are there's so many deals out. Like, everybody's, all the blogs are running deals. You have a huge thing you do on your site.
I do have a huge thing.
Summarizing what the deals are, but what are, like, the top... What are, like, the big, like, three, you know, or so, the big, what are there any ones people should really actually care about that are really awesome deals?
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you're looking for. And it, in fact, you know, there's nothing, like super awesome, I had to say. But, I mean, what are you looking for? Give me...
There's nothing really, you mean, like, previous years? There's been super awesome stuff that there's not... I want, like, a buy one, get one free, or, like...
Yeah, you're not getting that. Doesn't Toys R Us do that every year? They have, like, a buy one, get one free thing.
Toys R Us this year has a buy one, get one for $5 on select games.
Which are, what, like Madden 09?
No. There are some good ones, but you have to let me
Lacrosse.
Go through my paper here.
Pages and pages of deals, folks.
Fable 3 is one of those.
Oh, really?
For $5, that's not bad.
No, well, it's buy one, get one for $5, and you have to buy... There's, like, 7 or 8 games on the list, and you have to buy two of those
games. You have
games.
To buy Fable 1 and 2. And
right.
Then
no, they're all newer releases. So Halo Reach is on the list. Medal of Honor is on the list.
Oh, so you could buy Halo Reach for normal price and then get Fable 3 for $5.
Right.
That's a pretty good
price. Right.
That's pretty,
and Need for Speed Hot Pursuit is also on that list.
I'm so starting
some
to
good,
understand.
There's some good games on that list. Now, those...
That's a Toys R Us.
Unfortunately, that's a Thursday deal.
Thursday?
Thanksgiving deal. 10 p.m. to Friday, 1 p.m.
Oh, so if you're listening to this nice Christ. And early on Friday morning, you could run out. Stop right now.
Till Friday at 1 p.m.
Right. Well, this technically will be out Friday morning.
Okay. So you have till Friday at 1 p.m. to get those. So that's pretty solid.
That's
right.
That's a good
$65
one.
Bucks gets you two pretty good games there.
That's one of the better ones. All right. What else? What about... There's no, like... I saw a lot of, like, system pack-in deals, right? There's, like, if you're still missing, like, you want to buy, like, an Elite or a smaller 360.
Yeah. It's really interesting what they did this year. I mean, what I've done on Cheap Ass Gamer is I basically pulled out all the deals for all the systems and put them in one spot. So you don't have to look through all the retailers. You can say, I want an Xbox 360, and you can see all the 360 deals and the store and when they happen. The interesting thing is, for the 360 this year, it's basically all 4 gigabyte console deals.
Right. Why? They just want to get rid of them?
I don't know. There's only one deal. I'm trying to think if there's any...
They probably do want to just clear them out, right? I mean...
It's all 4 gigabyte deals. There's no deal on a 250 gigabyte system that I have here. And the best one is, if you go to Target Friday and Saturday, you can get a $50 gift card.
Okay.
When you buy a 4 gigabyte,
right? So it's a $200 360 with a $50 gift card. That's pretty solid. And if you pick it up before 10 a.m. on Friday, then you get an extra $10 gift card.
Jesus Christ, that's so annoying. That's like getting people to try to pack in at the most crowded,
that extra
annoying.
$10.
Right.
Jesus.
But Toys R Us also is doing a $50 gift card from Thursday 10 p.m. to Friday at 1 p.m.
And that's if on the same 4 megabyte 360?
That actually will be on the 4 gigabyte and the 250 gigabyte. That's the only deal on the 250 gigabyte system.
What about, I saw like PSN and XBLA have some deals. I think Joe Danger is on
half sale, price.
Half price on and, Friday only. Is that
no? I think those go for. I think I don't have those in front of me, but I think those go for a week. I'd be surprised if they only do those
right.
For a day.
Are there going to be any App Store sales on Black Friday or Cyber Monday? I don't know, whatever.
Who cares?
Yeah, they do that. Yes.
What is Cyber Monday? Is that like the new thing?
Oh God!
Cyber Monday is the Monday after Black Friday, which is when a long time ago, anyways, that all the internet deals would go up.
A long time ago, like back
five years ago,
like 40 years ago, Sears Roebuck catalog, Cyber Monday.
No, like maybe 5 years ago.
I hate that we're perpetuating that.
I know, because I never even heard of that.
Well, it's now it's all really silly because now like Amazon is having deals all this week, and they call it Prelude. Actually, no, Prelude to Black Friday was last week.
Okay.
This week is Black Friday week, and then obviously Friday is Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So it's just, look.
They're milking that shit.
Here's how it all goes down. Now is when all the great deals start, and they're going to continue to go until January. So even if you miss out on this shit, I mean, I'm just, if past results are indicative of future performance,
right?
There's going to be a lot of deals between now and January, but and through January.
But you still see the huge spike on Black Friday, right? Even though absolutely. Your stuff goes through, is all online.
Yeah.
It's still...
Absolutely. People spend a shitload of money on Black Friday, no matter
what. So what about all the stuff leaked early to all the Black Friday? What about like GameStop and the specialty stores? Are they not, they don't have
it? Everybody has. Everybody's ads have leaked
right.
a while ago.
But I mean, do they have anything worth a damn?
GameStop?
Yeah.
Well, let me turn to the GameStop.
Funny you should ask. I'm curious if people, if they're trying to get rid of any shit. If it's like, buy a copy of Wii Fit and get two balance boards, you know, free or something. If there's like guitar, there's got to be a fucking 10,000 Guitar Hero
Wii Speaks right now.
Oh, guitars. Like,
there's a bunch of them, but nothing that's that awesome. Like, I've seen a lot of Guitar Hero, you know, Warriors of Rock, but it's not, you wait on that, because eventually they're just going to need to get rid of those.
And they don't now? Don't they now?
It's a little too early for them to just blow it out for next to nothing.
Right, right.
But GameStop, you know, has their buy two, get one free on used games and accessories from Friday to Sunday, which, you know, they do that all the time.
You saw they put out their earnings and like 50% of their profit is from used games?
Right, big surprise.
Right. You better enjoy that while I can.
They have apparently
ominous.
Pachter says they got 10 years.
Really,
Pachter says a lot of things. We'll get to some of that later. I know he's a friend of yours.
Right, he gave me a really nice shout out on the bonus round this week. But
nice.
GameStop doesn't have anything that great. I'll tell you some other sort of random good deals. Walmart has a lot of PS3 games for $10 available on Friday and Saturday.
Like what?
God of War Collection, Infamous, what? Killzone 2. Ratchet and Clank Tools of Destruction.
For $10.
$10 each.
Hmm.
Also,
that's Friday only?
Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
All
okay.
day.
That's actually, those are pretty good.
That's very, Walmart usually has some pretty solid stuff. They also have Red Steel 2 for the Wii for $10.
Now, is this the kind of shit that Amazon will match?
They usually will.
Really?
But you have to sort of be on it, right? You have to, it's not going to sit there all weekend. It'll be up whenever they decide to put it up, and then it's going to sell out in a couple of hours.
I see. Mm.
So basically all weekend, I sit at the computer and I update the list so people can see.
Of what's active and what's not and stuff. Okay, so if people want to see whatever's current.
Exactly.
Okay.
Let's see, what else is it? Also at Walmart, for the 360, the old Force Unleashed, Star Wars Force Unleashed is $10. Prototype, Ghost Recon, $10. That's not that exciting,
but. All right. So any other like big standouts? Any other like mustard deals?
If you're looking for like the new EA Sports games from this year, including like the martial arts game, the MMA game, whatever, $35.
I doubt most Friday. Of the people listening
to this. I was going to say, are a lot of people looking for that? I don't know how that actually...
Welcome to the Japanese football.
A lot of the games that are on sale for Black Friday are the, you know, the sort of mainstream type games.
Right.
Like, I looked up like Vanquish. No deals on Vanquish.
Right,
right.
Donkey Kong Country, even. No deals. Even though you think that's... I mean, that's sort of a hard... Even though it's Donkey Kong, it's kind of like a hard...
But Nintendo doesn't discount their stuff until... I mean, right? For a long time, usually, typically.
Yeah, that's
right.
And it just came out. So, all right. Well, cool.
The interesting thing is that in Japan, you never have anything like this. There's never, like, these sales or, like, you know, short discounted periods or anything ever. It's just, like, I guess it's a cultural thing or something.
So, but the weird thing about Japan is that they have these things called fukubukuro, which are, like, these grab bags that all the stores sell.
Yeah.
And, like, they... Like, you'll pay, like, $100 for one of these bags, and they can have... You know, $100 worth of stuff in it, or they can have
more.
$200
like crazy.
$200
stuff. You could get like
even,
really
yeah.
crazy stuff,
but you could also get gypped too, right?
Well, no. Well, gypped it by quality wise, like price wise, you will not get gypped. But you know, the stuff that's in it is usually leftovers from the previous year, so. You know.
So you get like $100 worth of stuff, but it's not necessarily $100 worth of stuff
want. Well, if it's $100 fukubukuro, you'll probably get like $200 or $300 worth of stuff, but it's not promised to be good stuff.
Really?
Right. I had a friend who got two from Big Camera, which is like the Best Buy of Japan, and he got the Dragon Quest swords hook up to your TV piece of crap. He got it twice.
Poor bastard.
Yeah.
Wow, they were just clearing them out.
Yeah, they just... So Japan's version of Christmas Black Friday sales are these... grab bags,
You
basically.
Know why they do that, right?
No, I don't. Why?
So they do that at New Year's because we have a custom of receiving money from your family or, like, the elder people on New Year's.
Yeah.
So the stores want you to bring that money and come to the store and spend it. That's why they have those fukubukuro. And we, you know, like, not the major people in Japan are Christian. So right. That's why we don't celebrate Christmas as much as you guys right. do.
For Christmas in Japan is like, you know, like it's Valentine's Day in the winter. You know? Well, I mean, I guess Valentine's
pretty
Day
much,
is,
yeah.
is winter.
It's a very different thing. Anyway.
But yeah. So,
speaking of New Year's, actually, right. though, that there's something real quick that I wanted to mention. So we have our New Year's card that
oh,
we've
yeah.
been working on that we send out every year. Another Japanese tradition for people who don't know is... individuals, businesses, almost everybody sends out New Year's cards. It's like mm-hmm. Christmas cards, except people actually send them to people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we've done one every year. We should really post all of our old ones. Some of them have
yeah,
been covered should. On blogs and Gama Sutra and
yeah.
stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
maybe we could put it on our website.
Yeah, we should put them up. But this year, I'm super excited about it because Super Brothers, Craig Adams, the guy doing the Sword and Sorcery EP game, which looks amazing, and we're all like fans of his art. I have the oh, yeah. 6-foot poster that he made. It's fucking amazing. He does this mm-hmm. really cool pixelized art. He's doing our New Year's card.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Looking awesome.
It's looking really cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, mm-hmm. select industry members will receive one copy of it. But yeah, hopefully we'll get that up on the website afterwards, maybe sooner
yeah.
or later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We always try to get somebody, you know, in the industry to do the designs. Last year we had Bayon did our card, mm-hmm. who, you know, did the a lot of work on Pixel Junk Eden, and in the past we've had Jake Kasdahl, who was on one of our earlier episodes.
That's
and
right.
So, yeah, we try to get, you know, cool new up-and-comers every year.
Next
to
year we're
going to
have
GPD card.
And his son draw
That's
his
right.
cards.
It's going to look great.
So, all right, so enough Black Friday stuff. I was asking before if any of us had really great Black Friday stories. That story I told is like as close as I as yeah. I come. It was just the atmosphere felt really dark and evil. And
it is
like,
evil. The whole everything about it is evil. If you think
yeah,
of it, people
are
like willing to kill each other to
yes.
save to buy stuff they don't need. Basically,
yes.
is what it
exactly.
comes down to.
What happens right. when these people line up? Like, because you know they line up days in advance sometimes, right? But then the doors, is there always like structure, or is it just like a bum rush to like the aisles?
So
like,
that's the thing, you don't know. Like the Best Buy thing was not organized at all, and then like an hour before, I mean, it's usually not days before, it's usually the night before people start lining up, and then like Best Buy people showed up in the last couple hours and sort of some semblance of order, but it wasn't until the cops showed up where you felt like, okay, this is
it's
gonna go down okay. Yeah,
right.
Because once the doors open, that's how people get, you know,
stampede. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we've had similar things. What was the thing in Japan? Was it the PS3 launch or the Wii
oh,
launch? Or
right.
there was a, sometimes
in
with the
Europe
launches here,
it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, like
yeah.
they that's happened where like so many people lined up that it got out of hand, and then when they just opened the doors, like people just bum rushed and like ran over each other, and that's
right.
like.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's the whole thing. But the, like they were saying, these people lined up at Best Buy. Like a week
oh,
in advance.
An earthquake.
Ooh, earthquake.
Oh no!
Oh, we're having an earthquake. So
live on,
live on.
A lot of
yeah. So anyway,
things going on.
There was Best Buy. These people lined up 2 weeks in advance, and they gave them like iPads for like being the first ones.
Oh
there,
right, I read.
But then
about
I was
that.
Like, that's
wow.
cool. You got an iPad, but what are you going to do when the doors open? Like, you're going to get run over probably. Like, it is just so.
The only Black Friday thing I ever went to, I just went because we were bored. It was college, and it was pretty orderly. Like, they had Best Buy mapped out, and so nobody could get trampled or anything.
Wait, didn't you work at GameStop?
I did work at GameStop, and that was fine, too.
For a Black Friday?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's camping out at GameStop.
I mean, it's Knoxville, Tennessee. Come
okay.
on.
I worked at EB back in the day. I've worked on Black Fridays. Yeah, that was always fun. This was during the Genesis days, Genesis Super Nintendo. That was pretty cool.
You remember what the big sellers were that everybody's
you know,
coming
well, there was always the yearly, it was even back then, it was the yearly EA stuff. But then there was like, you know, I remember Phantasy Star 4 came out, and that was like,
the game was like $100.
Yeah,
too.
It was $100, and people like bum rush. And then, like, you know, 3DO was around that time,
wow.
and you know, people because people also buy like the new expensive, not very cool thing around that time just because they want to, you know, have
Are you saying 3DO wasn't cool?
yes, I am.
Don't you remember the commercial? Like, guy that plays Nintendo is probably like this, and he's like, I've got therapy. Or no, that was the Sega guy. It's like, a Nintendo player is like this. He's like, I've got to go ask my mommy. And the 3DO guy is like, can we try that again with a knock? He was like the cool early 90s guy. You don't remember this?
Was it Trip Hawkins?
You're working
commercial?
Late tonight. And he bites off his cigar and spits it at him. And then,
I don't remember this, no.
Wow. You can find it on YouTube. Anyway,
wow, right.
3DO was the cool guy. That was the very, like, yeah.
I still feel burned by 3DO because that year, when I was working there, you know, people were coming in and buying Samurai Showdown and Street Fighter 2. I think it was Turbo was the one
yeah,
on 3DO.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are like the first two kind of legit games, you know, besides like Road Rash or Madden or whatever. And
Samurai Shodown kind of sucked, but Street Fighter was the only place to get it, even though the 3DO D-pad sucked.
Well, that was the problem, is the controller was awful. So, yeah, like, you'd buy it, and then I felt super burned, because, like, I bought it, and then it still wasn't that good, but it was,
you
like...
You bought a 3DO.
And that was when super it went down by, like...
Super Street Fighter.
Yeah, that was when it was down to $400, too. It started out at $700. You bought a 3DO at $400. So...
Sorry.
Well, we all have our...
I thought about it. At
I never bought a Jaguar, at least. So.
Okay.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I only bought one as a joke afterwards, after it came out, but... All right, so let's get into the stuff that we've been playing this week. I think the game that the most of us have been playing, all of us, not all of us, but JJ wants to be playing it. Hiroko, maybe you'll try it. Is Pac-Man Championship Edition DX?
Yes,
which is it's on XBLA. Actually, not by the time you hear this, it should be out on PSN. It was supposed to come out today, I think. And it is like basically, I don't know, a sequel, expansion, and I don't know, evolution of Pac-Man.
Evolution sounds right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a deluxe version of Pac-Man
CD. DX version?
Yeah. One could say that, yeah. It, not the best name for it, I have to admit. Like, I'd give it something. It's getting into that, like, Super Street Fighter Turbo Championship edition. Like, I think a new name would have been better, but whatever. It's pretty, I think it's safe to say, pretty awesome. I think we're all into it.
Yeah, yeah.
What's so awesome about it?
Well, it's like, did you ever play the first one? So the first Pac-Man Champion Edition was really cool because it was like the first Pac-Man game in like however many years, I guess 30 years pretty much. That was like, well, not that long, but 25 years, that actually like took the formula and did something interesting with it. And this one,
Pac-Land, was not an interesting evolution of the formula.
There are other Pac-Man games I liked. I mean, I did like some of those games, but there, nothing was like this. This is the first one that took the spirit of the original game, which was like, you know, going for high scores in the arcades and like looking for ways to like, you know, get really learn the levels and totally turn them out. And this was the first one to do that in a while. And this sequel, well, Evolution, changes up the formula, but it's very interesting how they changed it up. I mean, you played it too, Mark, but like, yeah, they changed it from before, but it's still very similar, but it does feel like kind of a new game.
So it's not, see, the weird thing is, for me, Pac-Man in the arcade wasn't about score to me. It was about getting as many stages as far as you could go, but this and Championship Edition and this, it really is a score attack game, right?
Totally.
This one all the more so, because I think the first time I played it, I don't think I died. There's like there's different modes, of course, but the standard, more or less standard one, is like a 5-minute sort of time attack, score attack, whatever you want to call it,
right,
mode, where you basically get as many points as you can. And I don't think, I didn't die the first time I played it, because the game slows down if a ghost even gets close to you in a kind of a bullet time thing to let
you get
out.
Right, which is a really
interesting
mechanic to add, right, you know, that it would do that. It's,
and then another thing is you can bomb to blow the ghosts away from you as well. So it's really not about dying or getting as far as you can, it's about maximizing your score. And to that end, you're waking up ghosts as you pass by them. There's actually like sleeping, little green sleeping ghosts. You wake them up as you pass by, you get a trail of like, I don't know, up to like 20 or 30, 40 of these
even
things.
More, yeah, I think.
Yeah, and they get a power pellet, and then you combo kind of. And it's a little bit more complicated than that, but not much. And yeah, it's just like, it's crazy. It's like, it's faster and faster as you go along, and the more you your score goes up.
Yeah, your initial reaction is, well, I don't know if yours was, but my initial reaction to the whole slowing down bit and everything was like, first I was like, that's kind of lame, they totally like babyfied this. But then you realize that like you said, it's all about points. So like, everything they added and tweaked to this game was kind of done to make it more of a points game than before, which makes it like, so like, we were playing and you know, we watched videos. You can save your game while you play and upload your video. So we watched, We watched Rich Amptower's video, our friend. You know, you can kind of see how people do their own strategies, then try to emulate them and do it better and get a higher score. It's totally made to, like, beat other people's scores entirely.
The cool thing is, I think it's the top, either the top five people on your leaderboard or the people in the top percentile of the score, actually, their videos are just there.
Is that automatic? Or
they don't
that...
upload them.
I
They're
see.
Just there.
I just thought it happened to be that way.
Yeah, that's why it's always just like the top three or four people. So that's a really cool feature. You can't really fast forward. I wish you could fast forward and pause and do different stuff, more like Halo, like Forge, or with Halo's theater mode. But it is really cool that it's got it. Chibi, you've been playing it too, right?
Yeah, I really like it a lot, and you have to really commend these guys because it's not easy to make a new Pac-Man game at this point,
right?
And keep it fresh and make enough changes so that you want to, you know, keep it interesting for everybody, but not change it so much so that people say, "Hey, this isn't Pac-Man anymore."
Right.
Yeah.
My big complaint about it is, like you say, it's such a score-driven game, and it's totally ripe for the type of friends list integration that you see in a game like Geometry Wars 2.
Exactly. Yes.
Where it would say, "Hey, here's Mark McDonald's score. You're right there. You're almost there."
Yeah.
But that it should be right on the screen while you're playing, and it doesn't have that. I can't imagine why it doesn't have that. And even when you go and you look at the leaderboards,
that's right.
It's really awkward. The whole thing is set up very awkwardly. And when you look at your friend's leaderboard, you don't even appear on your friend's leaderboard.
Right.
So you have to go back and look at your score on a different leaderboard and then remember it and then look at your leaderboard.
That is a really weird omission. They need to patch that or something.
Immediately, they need to fix that.
Yeah.
I will also say, like, I read a review, I think it was Giant Bomb, and they gave it 5 out of 5 stars, but one of the things they knocked against it was, well, not really knocked against it, but said they'd like to see was, like, more modes and more things. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to me like there were so many modes and different levels. One of the things I actually don't like is I kind of want everybody playing the same level so that when I have something to compare to, right, when you go to the leaderboard, because it's like, oh, okay, I'm in the 10-minute mode of this level with looking at my friends. It's like, well, I don't even know if my friends are even really playing
this
level.
It's even confusing to know what are all the variations, because there's like the short time trial, and you don't see all the time trials until you start playing through them.
Right.
And then I guess it averages it adds up all your scores from the time trial. And
right, that was confusing.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was going on.
Also, it varies by difficulty level too, right? So if you're not playing on the same level, on the same board.
So there's almost too many options, especially the first time I played. It was like, oh, okay, choose this. It was like, I just want to play. And it seems weird to gripe about having too many options, but there really are a lot. That said, like, the overall thing is, this is like a no-brainer. Buy it. Play it. Really awesome. Like,
it's only $10 too.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the great things, it's one of those games that you can just play, okay, I'm going to play for 5 minutes, or I'm going to play it for like a half hour. Like, you can play it for a little bit longer. You can play it in these short little bursts.
It's one of the few, like, downloadable, you know, Xbox Live Arcade games or PlayStation Network games that you will go back to. You know, like, yeah, I got 5 minutes to kill. Let me just fire this up. Because you know the game's going to take you 5 minutes.
Right, exactly. And I think the difficulty you were talking about, it's interesting about how you update this game and still make it what it was, but make it what people will be excited about and make it new enough. Like, Galaga, or what was it? Galaga Legions?
Legions, yeah.
I like, tried it once. I'm a huge Galaga fan. The original Galaga Legions. They're doing a DX of that as well.
Didn't that come out a couple of years ago?
It did, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I thought it was all right, but
Pac-Man one.
But everybody was talking about Pac-Man, and then kind of Galaga Legions was kind of like, meh.
I can't even tell you what was missing now, because it's been so long, but I do remember the same thing. Like, I did this, I played it once, maybe twice, and then I never played it again.
Right. I feel like the Space Invaders that they just released recently is more along the lines of what I was kind of expecting with Galaga, but...
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with DX. I mean, I hope it's something, because when the first Pac-Man Championship Edition came out, and I heard they were doing Galaga, it's like, oh, I love Galaga, this is going to be amazing.
Exactly,
too.
Me too.
And then just totally failed. So I don't know. And then I guess the one other one they've announced that they're doing is Aerocross, which apparently is like gonna be like an update to this game called Metro Cross, which I had to look up. I had never heard of. It's like a 1985 arcade game.
Is that a motorcycle game?
It's skateboarding.
Somehow I missed that one.
Nobody actually knows about it. But we were talking a little bit about so this is like a whole line that they're doing, this like
Namco Generations,
and it's got kind of a neat little behind the scenes newsletter that they're going to update apparently within the UI of the game itself. I kind of wish that was video. I wish it would be cooler. It's not presented that great, but
it's just like a flat page of text, basically.
Exactly.
So far.
Yeah, it's like a web page.
They got to fix the leaderboards, though. That's
The leaderboards is like no brainer. They got to patch that. Absolutely. Yeah. But what would you guys? What other Namco games you guys would like to see get the DX treatment?
Oh man,
Dig Dug.
Yeah,
Dig Dug is actually. Dug, I got two. Dig Dug is one of them. Like Dig Dug, that could be fucking awesome. Right?
I mean, yeah. Mr. Driller is kind of that, but
yeah, not a Mr. Different. Driller fan. I mean, not a okay. Mr. Driller fan.
Maybe they may be blood related, but otherwise, it's a pretty different game.
Though. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Wasn't there like there's like a mythos in Mr. Driller that came out like Mr. Driller's actually
that's
like,
what I meant. Yeah,
Pac-Man's like. Third son, and Pac-Man was, or, I mean, not Pac-Man, but Dig Dug was, like, Dig divorced Dug. Or something.
Right.
And, like, yes, his second wife had Mr. Driller.
It's bad enough. Well, not bad enough. I guess it's funny enough that there is a lineage there, but the especially funny part is that somebody was divorced. That's the part that we were like,
right.
What?
It was, right?
Yeah.
I'm not imagining familiar. That.
Yeah. I don't remember who or what, but yeah, somebody was divorced in there.
But Dig Dug, and then the other one that I thought was Rolling Thunder. It'd be really awesome to get
Rolling
another.
Rolling Thunder was fun.
Like an updated kind of Rolling Thunder game. Get those Ku Klux Klan looking bad guys
on acid.
Back on acid.
Like all these remakes are basically, right. It's like Pac-Man on acid.
Right.
Pretty much.
Galaga on acid.
I'm sure Kevin Gifford would want a Tower of Draga.
I know. Okay.
By the way, the sound on Pac-Man, if you play on a surround sound system, it's really excellent.
Really?
The last one was also.
But, what is it doing in using surround sound?
It's cool. It's playing techno music, but they clearly made surround, spent some time making sure it had the surround effects. Sounds really good.
Well, you got your full fancy new setup, right?
Yeah. I got the fancy setup.
You got the surround sound. Tell people what you got.
I got a very large television.
Yeah.
How big is it?
I got a 60 incher.
60 inch.
Tell your friends. It's an Aquos, a Sharp Aquos 3D.
Oh, nice.
And so you've been playing Call of Duty in 3D, right?
I played the single player. I tried maybe like an hour and a half of the single player in 3D, and it was fine. I don't know. I feel like I'm making myself blind, though, when I play it.
Why? It's that intense?
It's intense. It's definitely intense.
More so than watching, like, Avatar in the theater?
Somehow, yeah. Because you're working. Really? You know, you're basically
that's
working.
True. It's not passive, right? It's
like, you're really, like, trying to look in the background, and you're wearing the glasses. It's a little too much. And then I tried playing the multiplayer with the glasses on, too, and I just, that lasted a very short amount of time. I quit on it.
Because it was screwing up your game?
Well, my game's not that great to begin with, but it just felt like it was, I don't know, I'm not really sold on the whole 3D thing at all, but it's, in Japan, I don't know if it's like this in America, but it seems like the way the TVs are priced in Japan, if you buy a new model television, that the 3D models of that particular television are not that much more expensive than the 2D models. In America, it seems like maybe they charge a lot more for the 3D version.
So you just bought this thing because you're like, well, I might as well.
I'm spending a ridiculous amount of money anyway. Because everything costs more here, even Japanese televisions.
Right.
It's like basically twice as much as what it would cost to buy in America.
Did it really?
That's how much it costs. I mean, even without the terrible exchange rate that's going on right now, it's still, everything you pay more. Your cameras, any electronics, all cost more. So at that point, I was like, it's an extra like $500 to get the 3D model. And I'm spending so much money already.
And you're going to have it for a long time anyway, so...
Yeah, so just screw it. I just bought it. But even though I don't care about 3D...
So you don't... Yeah, but you... If you were going to play... Are you going to play more single-player Black Ops?
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many games out now.
But
I'll go back and...
The point is, if you're going to go back, are you going to go back and play
in 3D? I think I will. Yeah. I was impressed. It was better than I thought it would be.
The 3D experience.
The 3D, but
I guess just playing the game was difficult.
Well, you know what it is? Like, we've played so many Call of Duty games and so many first-person shooter games, and they all seem so similar, even, and they come out every year, and they're all basically the same. So to play one in 3D, that was, like, a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that was sort of exciting, to play something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So, at least, and it wasn't a bad experience, it was great, but that being said, I'm not going to say, like, hey, you got to get a 3D television to really experience this game in all its glory. I mean, it's just so awesome.
Now, you were playing the 360 or the PS3 version?
360.
Okay, so I've heard the PS3 version actually slows down a little bit or is slower than the 360 version in 3D only.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice.
Only in 3D, you didn't play it.
Yeah,
in 3D,
I didn't notice. It didn't seem slow to me.
Any different?
No, no.
Good. Okay, yeah, well, what did you guys think, John? I know you played through Black Ops 2. I mean, we talked a little bit about it last episode, but just kind of summarizing, what did you guys think of Black Ops?
I liked it quite a bit, actually. I finished it, and it was a pretty short game. It's like 6 or 7 hours. I finished it in like 3 solid sittings, and I played through all the Call of Duty games. I played through Modern Warfare 2. I don't think I had quite as much fun with this one as I did with Modern Warfare 2, but I don't think it's like one of those, Treyarch didn't do as good a job type things, whatever, like people like to say. I think I just more appreciate the modern setting. It's more fun to play around with cool gadgets and stuff, you know, like. Because
this one's set for, most people.
Right, but it's pretty much set throughout the 60s. Yeah, right. you never leave this. You go back to the 40s for at least one part, but for the most part, it never goes past 1968. And Call of Duty is always about the big set pieces, like these kind of, you know, they set up these scenes and then they're really awesome and then you move on to the next one and like they don't last very long. And there's a few like that in Black Ops. Like there's this, you know, part where you're like going under the tunnels of Vietnam is really, really cool. There's some stuff where you're underwater in the jungles of, you know, during the Vietnam War. And
I saw the opening, the throat stuff seemed, even for Call of Duty,
I showed you some of that. Yeah,
it's really gratuitous. Really like 13-year-old boy, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot of language in this one, which there wasn't in the previous ones as much, and there's a lot of blood, and you could turn it off. I think you could turn off the blood anyway. There's a thing
you can turn off the down. Gratuitous violence as well.
You just
right
sweat yellow sweat.
I don't know. I didn't
out of their
try
throat
it.
When open it.
It takes scenes out of the game.
Really? But, well, so what happens when you, because it's like a whole scene where you come up behind a guy and just
I think it's more of like the cut scenes maybe
you don't see those or something. It's probably just not as bloody because there were some scenes where you'd have to remove a chunk of the game to get rid of the scene. So
I'm saying you like walk up and sing him a lullaby instead, like,
instead of putting a knife in.
They'd probably just cut it right when you put the knife up to his throat or something.
Yeah.
What I found about the game is that, it's easy. Something I like about Call of Duty is even when you play it on the normal mode, it's not that hard. I mean, it's got the whole, in the single player mode, it's got the whole tap the L button to kind of aim, auto aim, and then shoot. And a lot of tapping back and forth, and you can do pretty good, and you could feel pretty good. And I didn't get frustrated that much. But I did get, and I realized that's what I like about that series. But I did, you know, there were a couple of points in the game where it's just not clear at all what you have to do next, and I was getting super frustrated, like super, super frustrated.
Really?
And yeah, but only like two or three times. I mean, I could name them, but you know, it wouldn't matter right now, I think. But
it
basically
surprises me just because you know that they focus test the crap
that's
out
the
of
thing.
That.
It's like you when
and they put like an arrow at all times pointing to what you got to do next, right?
Yeah, that is one other thing I don't like that much, but I don't think I mind too much. I was wondering, like, do I want to complain about that? Well, all the time you're following someone and it's always there, like follow, follow, follow.
But how can you not know what to do next?
Okay, so, well, there's this one scene, and I was really happy that after I beat the game, I went back and we were listening to podcasts, because I didn't want to spoil, so I didn't listen ahead of time, and everybody else complained about the exact same scenes, and I felt much better then. I was like, okay, it's not just me.
Right.
There's, like, this one scene where, like, you're on a hill, and you have to push these barrels down the hill, and, like, there's no indicator to you. I did the scene over, like, 40 times, and
this
I was getting
does
so
not sound like a Call of Duty game at all.
Yeah, well, it makes more sense if you saw it, basically.
Like,
but, like,
you know, you got to push barrels down this hill.
You're not the barrels down into the trenches and they explode and then it pretty much lights up the trenches. But if you don't do it, they auto respawn forever. And so I fought this, you know, first I just fought that scene for like 20 minutes before I realized I'd do something. Then I did it over again like 50 times before finally I saw what we had to do. Things like that weren't clear, but I was happy to see that other people got caught in the same places.
And then actually one of the cool things that you were telling me about was that little mini game, that hidden mini game. Did you know about this, Chibi?
I knew about it, but I pretty much focused on the multiplayer.
Can you also play Zork? I think Zork is another one of the minigames.
Yes. Are you serious? I didn't know that. Yeah. Really? Well, there's a top-down like twin-stick shooter that's hidden in the game that's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool. It's fun. It's just like overhead Call of Duty, basically.
The cool part is, to me, it's like within the title screen menu, right?
Right.
Like,
you have to break out. So in the title screen, you're in a chair, basically strapped in, and if you look at your wrist and then hit the L and R buttons, you can break out and then stand up and walk around the room that the title screen is set in. And you can go up to the computer console and type in DOA, and you'll unlock the game. But basically, there's also the zombie mode, which was, I think, in World at War 2.
Right, right. Yeah, I played a little bit of that.
Yeah, I really like that mode, and I think, you know, once you beat the game, you kind of open up a special level of it that's really funny. And I found that pretty enjoyable. I think that could be, you know, I don't know if you... I haven't played it multiplayer, I've only played it single player, but it's a pretty cool mode. And I like that there's a ton of content in this, you know. So you've got the main game, you've got all the multiplayer stuff, which I didn't even touch yet. You've got the arcade game, you've got the zombie mode. I guess you have Zork, I don't know. Overall, I was really happy with it.
People are really good at the multiplayer.
Yeah.
That's why I don't play it. I can't hang.
Yeah, and I haven't played it in the first however many days it is now, and they're just that much better. So it's intimidating. Mm. Are they being dicks? Are they pretty much...
No, well, a little bit, but it's...
A little bit?
You know, you get some of that, you know, the N-word and the
XBLA talk, yeah.
But just, they're really good. So you have to be really on top of your game if you want to finish in the top three, which I, you know, once in a while I get lucky, I can do it.
Right.
By the way, if you want to know the best Black Friday deals on Black Ops.
Speaking of Black Ops.
It's actually interesting because there's only two. It's only mentioned in two ads.
Well, because why would they discount it? It's selling like fucking crazy already.
But, because they want to get you
get the, people into the store.
Yeah, right? That's what you would think. But there's only two that I have here, and one's at Meijer. You know that store?
It's, Meijer's?
I guess it's like in the Midwest or something.
I thought that was Canadian.
Meijer. It's not Canadian, but $30 coupon if you buy that, you get a credit.
That's impressive.
Wow. And the other deal is that at Kmart on Friday and Saturday, you can get Black Ops for free if you buy a 4 gigabyte console.
Really?
Wow.
That does surprise.
That's a great
that
deal. Is a good deal.
Those are the only two deals.
If you want a 4 gigabyte,
right? Console. If you're in the market for the console.
Yeah. Did you guys see the thing about like the Rolling Stones sales of "Gimme Shelter" and a couple of the other songs, "Sympathy for the Devil," that are in the game actually shot up?
Because really?
The game came out, yeah, from like 2,000 a week to like 11,000 or something.
That's just, wow.
Just because they're in Call of Duty.
I'm not surprised, man. Look at Journey, like totally benefited from The Sopranos ending.
Oh, right, that's true. Yeah.
And Glee. Nobody watches Glee. Yeah, nobody watches Glee.
Yeah.
I saw the hot chick from Glee on Conan O'Brien, right. But that's all.
Yeah. And then the other thing that that Call of Duty has been in the news is they're actually saying that they're not. This is where your boy Pachter again, surprisingly wrong. But they said they're the Activision Publishing CEO Eric Hirschberg said, I think it was never ever. What was it?
Premium multiplayer?
Yeah, would sell multiplayer as a separate like thing you had to pay for.
Yeah, yeah, but how does he word it? That's the question.
Yeah, so he words it in a way, a lot of people are speculating that they could sell a multiplayer-only Call of Duty game separately.
That's not what Pachter's saying. Pachter's saying that they're going to have a premium multiplier experience.
Pachter Defense Force here,
right,
full effect.
Because
I'm not saying he's right. I have, you know, right, I'm just telling you, you know, what his theory is that they have so many people who are willing to pay for it.
Right.
Yeah. So you would get anyone who doesn't want to pay extra would still get the same multiplayer experience they have now. But for those people who are willing to spend money, they'll get like special tournaments, leaderboards, right, virtual items and stuff.
So, and probably what he's basing that on was that Bobby Kotick did say, I don't know if it's a couple years ago now or no, and actually that's a separate thing. They had a survey somebody found, I think it was Destructoid, found a survey that Activision circulated to find out whether or not people would pay extra for like those kind of services, and they like listed them off and that sort of thing. And then Bobby Kotick kind of fueled it when the Wall Street Journal asked him, like, if you could snap your fingers, what would you do? And he said, well, I would have it be like an online, you know, subscription service. Call of Duty would be like a subscription service, but that doesn't necessarily say that it's going to happen either. And they've talked about making it maybe an MMO kind of thing out of it, and that sort of thing. Like, if they make an MMO, that's not really people are really worried about. People are worried about getting the next Call of Duty game and the multiplayer. You pay like $10 and that's
not gonna happen.
Right, and that's not gonna happen. That's what they're saying.
They're just saying, you know, people, it's amazing. People really pay for virtual items, right? People see on Xbox Live all these crap, you can buy for your fake guy. But people pay for them. People do. I mean,
bought one?
No.
Nothing.
No, never.
Not
never.
One thing. Not $1.99.
Not for my avatar. I bought a theme.
Okay.
I bought the Limbo theme because I felt like it was sort of like a tip to the developer. I said, you know what? You really took a risk on this game.
Yes.
And, you know, I didn't think it was the best game ever made. I really had a great time with it. I thought it was great. But that was, you know, a black and white game in 2010. I mean, that's pretty ballsy. Here's $3 extra.
And right. You didn't use it? You just bought it? And then...
No, I used it. I used it. I don't think I have it now. But but never virtual crap
has,
for my virtual.
Has anyone? I haven't either. Has anyone here bought a piece of Avatar?
Anything? No. I've never even bought DLC. So
okay.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
You say that like you're proud.
I am very proud.
But I bet people who like Call of Duty,
right,
will buy the Call of Duty helmet for their guy. And,
right.
And will pay. People who are really into it will pay $10 a month or whatever the Pachter said it would be to get unlimited access to virtual crap for their virtual guy. And
right. They must make so much money off that thing. Jesus. Just the main game alone, they brought in like, what was it, like $360 million or something crazy in like a day or something.
$450. Oh, it's something ridiculous. Crazy. Speaking of big sales, Kinect, they said, has sold 1 million in its first 10 days.
Four to go.
Weren't you, 5 million by the end of the year. Weren't you skeptical of Kinect? Or do you still... I was kind of surprised by the amount of hype and attention it's getting around. I'm not.
You're quite surprised they spent so much money.
No, yeah. I know. They spent $500 million.
People are sheep.
People are stupid.
Justin
people
Bieber played it at his concert.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, they paid him to do that. That's right, why he did it. People, I'm not.
Are you saying Justin Bieber is for sale?
Honestly, I know no. I couldn't pick Justin Bieber out of a lineup. I don't know. I couldn't tell you one song. I know he's a singer, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you anything
it
else.
It took a while even just to find that. I heard his name so many times before I even knew what he did.
That's so the blessed. Great thing about yes. living in Japan. Is you exactly.
But it's the horrible thing
shit.
About being a guy named Justin.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why so, we call you JJ. Yeah, so, right.
But I'm not surprised that it sold well.
You think it's going to sell 5 million then by the end of the year?
Apparently, it's selling out everywhere. I mean, it's hard to find. I mean, I don't really claim to know how many people are buying it or anything like that.
But can't you tell? Can't you gauge kind of general interest by the number of pre-orders and things you get on through CAG?
They weren't very high on CAG, but my guys are probably not the target audience for this. Mm. It's the people who are watching Ellen and Oprah. I mean, look, you spend $500 million on marketing, people are going to buy. You could sell a bag of shit. If you spend $500 $500 million marketing a bag of shit,
yeah.
People are like, that's the go-to gift for the holiday, bag of shit. And people, it's funny because if you, you know, I read the message boards on my site, and before all this marketing campaign went down, you could see people like, Connect, you know, who gives a shit about Connect?
Yeah.
And you can see the tide just slowly turn.
I'm one of them. I have to admit, like, it sounds, and not because I see it on Oprah or anything like that, but I see everybody talking about it on Twitter. And it's not even that I'm excited about what they're talking about, but it just starts to sound inevitable.
Connect. It's in your head.
Well,
it
just starts to seem like, well, I'm going to buy one sooner or later anyway, like when the game. Like the Panzer Dragoon, what's it called? Project
Draco, I think.
Project Draco. Mm-hmm. They released a couple more pictures in Famitsu. It looks really good.
No shit.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna buy that sooner or later anyway. So,
but why would you buy it now? That's the thing. Like people are buying it now. There's like 17 games out, and how many would you want to own? Dance
there's like
Central.
16 snowboarding games and Dance Central.
And Dance Central isn't even out in Japan, so it really isn't.
We
anything
have Dance
worth owning.
Evolution.
Yeah. I watched the ladies demo that at the Konami style
was
store
that fun?
In Midtown. It was fun watching them.
I watched them at Tokyo Game Show.
That's what I did at Tokyo Game Show, was stand at the Xbox booth and watch the Kinect girls. But it's just amazing how if you market something enough and you say, this is the thing you need to have for the holidays, you got to get it, People are like, shit, I got to get it.
Well, the coolest stuff that I've seen being used for, have you seen some of the hack videos that people have been doing? There's one with a guy, I saw it on Kotaku, where he's adjusting a slider or something, and it's basically like, it's only what Kinect sees, but it's seeing his entire body, and then it's like expanding it. He looks kind of like a Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah. I don't need any virtual help with that. I can just continue my lifestyle.
But he's like petting his cat. His cat jumps on his lap. The cat looks all weird, and then he turns it down. There's the guy who did the like finding his moobs, his man boobs, and then putting a little coconut bikini on it automatically. I mean, that doesn't look like particularly like a lot of fun or anything like that. But
killer app.
The interesting stuff. People are doing interesting stuff with it now that people are hacking it.
The question is, do you want to pay full price for it now when there's really no games that you want to play on it besides Dance Central? Or maybe wait 6 months? And, you know, they said that it only cost Microsoft $56 to make a Kinect.
Right.
Really?
That's a lot of padding right there for a price drop.
Which is interesting because that's not like Microsoft's style, right? It's usually to lose money. But I guess if you're spending that much money on marketing.
That's the plan, I guess.
$100
Wi-Fi. I'm sure there's a little bit of, look at how much we sold, and they could have sold if it was $300 that first year. They're probably just like, we should take the money while we can get it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, if we dump $500 million marketing it, we can charge $150, make, you know, I don't know what the actual profit is after all is said and done, but a nice chunk,
right?
And then when things die down a little bit, drop the price down to $100 and watch it pick up again.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what it does here, especially in Japan.
I can tell you right now what it's gonna do.
Yeah, there were some early reports that it's not selling at all, which is not a surprise.
I saw that there was actually some pretty decent lines in Akihabara for it, but
that's probably the only place in all of Japan where there was a line, and it was just for like an hour that morning. I mean, basically, you know, like because the first day sales weren't much at all, and it's funny, we were out yesterday with some friends of ours. who are the kind of people who would buy Kinect, mm-hmm. and who right. can, who actually are some of the few people out here who actually have a house big enough for it. Mm-hmm. Right. But even that, like one of our friends, Aaron, he's got a very nice, very big apartment, but his living room still doesn't fit. He has to rearrange furniture to use Kinect, and it's like,
our other friend
doesn't have a chance in hell out here. Mm-hmm. Let me ask
Hirogo a question, because my wife brought this up, and she thought it was really weird, because we were in a Family Mart convenience store, and she saw they had a promotion going on, and they had the Kinect poster up. But they don't spell out Kinect in any katakana at all. It's all in English. And my wife looked at that and she said, "I don't even know that Japanese people would know what that means or how to say it."
Right.
I mean, did that strike you as weird at all?
It is kind of weird. And in the few times that they spell it out in Japanese, they spell it out as Kinecto instead of Konecto.
But it's not on, like, the official marketing material, right?
That's true. Yeah. It is weird.
Because would you, like, if you don't speak English at all, I mean, it's not even a real word, first of all. Yeah. And you look at that and you're like, I don't even know how to say that.
Maybe that's why. You can't explain it. So instead of trying, they just leave it there. Like, look at the letters.
And did you see at some of the displays in the stores, they give you in Japan, they have a yardstick, basically.
I want one of those because I'm curious to see.
It's a 0.9 meters piece of paper
that
you can bring home to your living room and see if you have the space.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that is smart. I mean, there's not much they can do here, but that's one thing they probably need to do.
Because I'm curious, if it can fit in my house, I'll get one of those fancy new Xbox 360s.
That is a... Wow.
Yeah, it's just a whole bunch of them, and you can just pick one off and bring it home with you and...
Crazy. Because, that is smart, but it also, like, belies, like, the big weakness of it, obviously, which we talked about last week, so we won't hash it over again. But,
yes.
All right, so, yeah, enough about Kinect. What else have people been playing? John, like, just to totally go entirely the other direction.
Okay.
We're going to talk about this a little later, but Super Famicom anniversary.
That's right.
There's another anniversary going on, not just the Famicom. We're going to have a bigger special later, but in honor of that, you personally went back and played.
So this was, Sunday? Yes, last Sunday was the 21st of November, which was 20 years. Since the Super Famicom came out. Super Famicom is Japan's Super Nintendo. A lot of people think it's the best. There are a lot of fans, let's put it
you
that
included.
Way. I it's my favorite system ever, for sure. Just in terms of, like, I know JJ's over there shaking his head, thinking about his little Mega Drive, Genesis, whatever. Basically, you know, there were just so many awesome games on that system. And so to celebrate for the anniversary, I was going to go back and play some Super Famicom games. But then I was like, you know, honestly, I'm really busy right now. And, I don't have a lot of time to play my big backlog of games as it is, so why don't I at least try to play something I haven't played before? So I downloaded... I had already downloaded it, but I just never played it, of course. Final Fantasy IV, The After Years on WiiWare, which is like a direct sequel to a Super Nintendo game. My thinking was, you know, playing this, I don't know that it's necessarily going to be that good, but it will at least bring back the kind of nostalgic feeling of playing a Super Nintendo game.
Now, was that originally released for cell phones?
It was a cell phone game.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was Cheapy's over here cracking up laughing.
No, I'm just cracking up because every time Mark touches the table, you see JJ look down and he's like,
right.
Yeah, just enjoying our just relax.
Settle down, JJ. Final Fantasy The After Years was a mobile game for Japanese cell phones, not iPhone, like Japanese cell phones, little flip phones, and
they did it on WiiWare. Do you remember how much it cost?
It was 800 points, I think, for the main package. The thing is, it's one of those games where to buy the whole game, it's actually like almost $40 because you start with the first three scenarios, but then you buy more. Like you buy DLC episodic. Basically. There's like new episodes that were when it first came out, they were released every couple months, and then there's like a final chapter. I think in total there's like 11 or 12 chapters, and it makes up a full size, you know, RPG.
Yeah, no wonder nobody played it though. Yeah.
Right. It's not a model. Well, especially on WiiWare. That model might have worked on a platform where the provider actually supports that sort of thing, but like on WiiWare, it's like.
Right. But what did you? It literally picks up like right where you remember where four ends.
I remember where four ends. It takes place. You play the son of the tomb of Cecil and Rosa. So it was like, I don't know.
Okay.
20 years later or something like that. But
what's their name? Still statues.
Palom and Parom. No, they're in there. They're in the game, though. They're okay. Yeah, they get fixed in the ending, man.
Okay. It's been a while. Okay, yeah. It's been a while.
But To be honest, I was expecting it to be crap because, I mean, come on, it's like a WiiWare. Like, it looks, it reuses assets from the Game Boy Advance versions. The music is basically the same as the old game. Same maps from the, you know, dungeons and stuff. But
wait, same dungeons?
So far, anyway, yeah, because I'm going, you start off at Baron, like the place where you, well, you one of the first areas you go to is Baron's castle, and you go to the Mist Cave and all this stuff. So it's pretty similar, but it's better than I thought it was going to be. It's actually fun. They made some additions to the, we shouldn't talk about this too long, I guess, because people probably played it like last year, but I mean, they made some additions to the battle system.
I don't think anybody played it.
Okay, well, the battle system is, the whole story is the moon came back, because the moon left at the end of the first game, and the moon's back, and so now the position of the moon, like full moon, half moon, whatever, affects your party. Yeah. Everybody's opening their drinks.
I don't know.
We synchronize. We have the synchronized opening.
Yeah. So the position of the moon affects your party. Like, if it's a, I forget what they are, but like, it might be a half moon, might make black magic stronger and white magic weaker. So you base your strategy around the moon, which is cool. And sometimes like dungeons might be harder depending on that. And there's like, you know, team attacks where like two people in the party can both go at the same time and do like a combo move. But
basically, if anybody played Final Fantasy IV when it was Final Fantasy II,
right?
Probably safe to say like they should.
Yeah,
check it out.
If for nothing else and for nostalgia, yeah, like it totally hit. Like, it was a good. I felt like I was sitting there playing a new Super Nintendo game, and that was kind
of
cool.
So you bought all of the chapters?
No, I just bought the first one so far.
That's the thing. So you still have to buy it, like chapter, like it's still chopped up in a segment. So it would still cost you basically $40 to buy the whole
game. To get the whole game, yeah. Ugh. And I'll keep going for now, but I don't know how long I'll go. Like, if it keeps my interest, then I mean,
right, so. Right. All right. Well, and then your other super old school game you've been playing, McFlurry, is versus Super Mario Brothers.
That's right. Yeah, we had
the arcade version of Super Mario Brothers. Do you ever play this, Chibi?
I'm not sure. You mean Super Mario Brothers?
That's right.
No.
Yes, there was an arcade version. Not regular Mario Brothers. Not regular Mario Brothers. An arcade version of Super Mario Brothers. It came out. It's different. It's all changed.
This is different from the PlayChoice 10 version of Mario Brothers, right?
Right, that's just the NES game. Yeah. This is a kind of remixed version of Super Mario Brothers for the arcade. Much harder. Little background, I guess. I had known about this for a long time, but we mentioned it briefly when Kevin was on a couple of episodes ago, and that got me thinking about it again. And, you know, he had mentioned that he found it in an arcade here in Shibuya. And so me and Mark were getting dinner one day for work during work, and we saw the arcade. It was a Saturday night.
It's a Saturday
night. And we were both working. And so we decided to stop in and check it out. Actually, so we made a date out of it, right? We went to, we did it old school style. We went to McDonald's and bought McFlurries.
Which right.
I haven't had a McFlurry in like 10 years. We were just like, it wouldn't be right without it.
Yeah. Mm.
So we got the Oreo McFlurries and went to the arcade. And,
the 50 yen arcade.
Yes.
Which are very
really kick ass arcade, by the way. 50 wow. yen, tons of machines, clean.
And really. The guys down in there, too, are like scary good at their shit.
Yep.
Like,
there they live there.
Yeah, there was a guy. There was some cave shooter. We actually totally randomly ran into our friend cave. John from Cave. Totally playing. But anybody who's playing, there was a guy playing Circus Charlie there who was like an idiot savant. He was like Rain Man at Circus fucking Charlie. Like, what the hell? Anybody plays Circus Charlie still?
Yep.
Yes.
Anyway. And I love Japanese arcades. The guy right next to me was sitting there with his cigarette in his hand playing Metal Slug 6, like just totally nonchalant. Like, not didn't look like he was enjoying himself or anything, but he was just like ripping through the game, smoking while he's playing. It was awesome.
It's totally
like, anything but be home.
Right. It's such a perfect Japanese arcade feel, though. Like, the smell of the cigarette smoke and the monitors and stuff.
Yep.
But anyway, you've been slowly like discovering all these differences in the game because it's way harder. Because of course it's got to be an arcade game,
right?
So the game wants you to die in like 2 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's the first level or two is like very similar to the NES game, but then it quickly branches off and starts getting different. There's enemy placement is different, jumps are harder. They took out like free guys in a lot of places, and they took out the tricks too. So like at the end of 3-1, there's no turtles going down the stairs or anything. You can't really cheat. Mm-hmm. So you actually the thing that was cool about it for me was I had to think about Super Mario Brothers. Like, you usually just play, you run through it, whatever. You're not thinking about your score or anything or how many guys you have, right?
Right.
I had to think about getting every single coin because I have to get as many free guys as I can because the game is ridiculously hard.
Right.
And also the warp zones don't take you as far. You can warp, I think, to like maybe 3 and then like to 5 or whatever, something like that.
And then 6 is like Waterloo, right? World
6 3.
Intensely hard.
Killed me twice. So my whole thing is I want to beat it on one coin. If I'm going to get through it, I got to do it in 150 yen coin. And so 3 times now, actually, I've gone back and all 3 times... I lost on 6-3. Though, right. I, at the last time, I got to the flag, basically. So I now it's one of those things where, you know, you learn every hard part.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's a part where you have to make a running jump, and you can't... You saw this. I showed you that you can't see anything. You have... If you edge the screen to the right a little bit, you can see a turtle on the right side flying. Yeah. You have to time your jump, this long jump, to land on him when he's in a certain spot that you bounce off him and get to the platform. Mm-hmm. It's like brutal. It's like
the quarter sucker.
It's Lost Levels level of difficulty, basically.
Right.
Like,
right.
Lost Levels has these just total fucking evil levels from hell. Mm. It's exactly what it is, basically.
Exactly. But it's really cool. I am going to beat it on one coin, so I will update when
so
I do.
So you're going to go back again?
Yes, I'm going to keep going back and try to do it.
With a McFlurry? Again?
I don't know about the McFlurry. I'm going to get pretty fat considering how hard
it is. It'll be a gingerbread latte next
time. It'll go well with the lung cancer you get from the secondhand smoke.
Other arcade games, sadly they don't have it there, but that I'm looking for right now is Cho Chabudai Gaishi 2. Oh.
Yes.
It's out.
That game is awesome.
The flip the tea table game where you... So some people might know the expression from, like, Miyamoto has said to always, like, flip the tea table at the end of development. Like, they'll be going along and making their game, and then he'll flip the tea table at the end and be like, no, 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 your main character should really be, like, the girl and not, you know, it should be Zelda, not Link or whatever. At the very end, and it's like, oh, fuck, he just, you know, fucked everything up, and it's from an old comic or whatever. And but there's an actual game, and there was a first one. You can find videos of it on YouTube, maybe. If we get really ambitious, we'll link to
it. Yeah, there should be one of me playing it. You can see
really?
My,
really?
You can see my big ass.
Well, you tell us about it, then. I haven't ever even played it. I'm just a fan of it from afar.
So, it's basically like the Burnout Crash mode, but you're like this angry person sitting in front of a table. So
angry,
like,
salaryman father, basically.
Father, daughter, mother, brother, whatever.
Paint the picture real quick. Like, what is this, like a 3D, or is it, what does it look like?
It's in 3D. It's like really crude polygons, like almost flat shaded. Uh-huh. So, and like you pick a scene, like one scene's in a disco with a whole bunch of hosts. And they're all like trying to, you're the mom, and they're trying to like talk to you and stuff. And like, whenever they say something stupid, you slam your hands down on the table. And then, like, you know, your anger builds, and you keep doing that every time they do something stupid. And then you find the right moment to just flip, and like the.
Wait, there's an actual table?
The table is a controller.
Table.
Yeah.
Okay, like, you are a table controller.
You are flipping the table. Uh-huh. And like, you just take it and you flip it, and then the table goes flying. And in this case, it's got like this tower of wine glasses on it. And so like all this shit just goes flying.
Champagne tower.
Right. Yeah.
Host club.
And so like shit goes flying. Like, you can break a TV on the other side of the room, and you get all like...
It's kind of like Pain, too. Hit other things and kind of combo.
Right,
off of
them. Right.
So is this all in slow motion or something? Is that why it's like crash mode or what?
Well, it's like crash mode because you're just trying to cause as much damage as you can.
Gotcha.
And like all the points and like, well, the dollar values or the yen values show up on the screen, and like you try to cause as much damage as you can possibly can.
It's really funny watching somebody, because at first you're just slamming your hands down on the table.
Right.
There's a little plastic table in front of you, because
you're just a little angry at that
point.
Are
you trying to time the hits, or how do you?
You know, I could honestly never figure it out. But I just was like,
you just randomly.
That looks lame. I'm gonna, you know,
right. When you play different people, you play like a frustrated salaryman father who's like, daughter is on her cell phone.
Right,
and
he's being totally ignored at his house,
and his wife is, I don't know. It sounds pretty whatever. Cool. Yeah, it sounds like kind of like Incredible Crisis. This is probably the closest thing that people might have played in America. That I think.
Does the table not break though? I mean, like, if you're, I mean,
no,
I imagine people get into it. Like,
you have to see the video, but it's a plastic table, and it's on like a hinge, almost like a catapult, but in reverse. So you flip it up, and it goes on this hinge and goes back.
I see.
It's a piece of plastic that holds onto it. But the sequel came out, so it must have done well.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was the big hit at, I think it was JAMA that year.
Right.
Yeah, like, it was your game of JAMA.
Yeah, it was my game of JAMA.
I remember you coming back being excited about it.
Right. It was pretty much the only interesting game there. But anyway.
Is this new?
Not
this
a
one,
good sign.
The sequel is new? It just came out? Or?
Yeah. I think it was like even a couple weeks ago.
We got to check it out.
Yeah, it's got to be around here somewhere. So let's see, what else are we going to check out next week? We're going to check out Monster Hunter Portable 3rd.
Hells yes.
We won't talk about it too much this week because we're going to actually have a holiday special. So please avoid it at all costs if you're not into Monster Hunter, because we're going to completely nerd out on Monster Hunter next episode.
What's the holiday? Is it the Monster Hunter holiday, or is it because it's on Hanukkah?
No, it's it'll be on December 3rd, but it's just our holiday special.
Okay.
And they released, we won't talk too much about it, they released the intro movie. Big surprise, there's big monsters, and you fight them, and that sort of stuff. Pretty freaking basic.
I will say, like, it's going to, I mean, we are, it is going to be a Monster Hunter-centric episode, but, I mean, if you have never played and you're curious about it, it is probably a good time to listen in and try to understand why we like it so much.
Right, right.
But we should try and, like, for the people who don't know Monster Hunter, we should have, like, a segment of just, like...
Well, we were talking about maybe trying to get Alex back, because he's a noob, he has never played it before, and have him talk about it through the eyes of a noob. Like, we'll let him see what it's like and, you know, talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be...
On the other side, so...
Yeah, a good thing. But yeah, anyway, so that's just a little foreshadowing.
That's next week, not 2 weeks from now, but next week.
Next week, December 3rd, which is, what, the day after it comes out. And then, like, pre-orders are really actually hard to come by.
Yep.
In Japan, cheapy. I know you've been, like, really trying to track one down for yourself.
I've just zoned out for the last 2 minutes. So
but they haven't hard to come by, but we think we have them lined up. For all of us, so we'll see.
It's kind of retarded. I mean, not retarded. I'm sorry. That's a bad word. It's kind of silly that they're not having it available for download on PSN the day it comes out.
Well, of course not. They want to make their money, you know, and they got to have the demand. There's no demand if anyone can buy it, you know.
Yeah.
Par for the course, though, right? Like, right. You know, all those Square games. Like, it's been a big problem with Sony and the PSN stuff. No longer a problem. Gran Turismo 5, cheapy. Are you playing that?
I don't know.
Really?
Well, I've sort of had a resurgence getting into cars again since I moved to, like, a nice neighborhood where I just see Ferraris and Porsches all day long driving by.
Cheapy lives in the... do people know where you live?
I live in Higashi Azabu, which is, like, right near Roppongi and Tokyo Tower. So it's a lot of people... obviously a lot of Japanese men with very small penises because there's a lot of Ferraris and... I mean, it's really...
Wait, Japanese men with small penis? Oh, okay. No, but isn't there... What's the dealership that's right next to your...
I live next to an Aston Martin
dealership. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I walk by that every day. But so I'm like... I used to really be into cars when I was in, like, junior high and high school and stuff. So now I'm sort of... But living in Manhattan and stuff, you sort of stop giving a shit about cars because you don't have one. But now that I see all these nice cars, I'm sort of back into it. But I've been playing Need for Speed.
Hot Pursuit.
Need for Speed Burnout.
That they kind of ran out of names and they had to go back to one that's only like 10 years old.
Right.
It's really confusing.
I know, especially when you're looking for box art to use in graphics for your website. And you're coming up like, wait a minute, what the hell is
this? You're like, wait, Amiga compatible? What the fuck? This might be the wrong Atari ST version. But so a lot of people have been talking about that. And so people who don't know, you can play as a cop, you can play as the guy chasing after him. It's kind of open world.
It's Burnout.
It's Burnout.
With cops and robbers.
Because it's made by...
Criterion,
right? The Burnout guys. Burnout with cops and robbers, but also has this real big, like, social gaming, for lack of a better word, aspect to it. Right? It's called Autolog. It's kind of like a Facebook wall within the game.
It's just like we were talking about what's missing from Pac-Man Championship DX is this awesome integration with your friends list where every time you finish a race, it just throws up right on the screen... You know, if you beat the number one guy on your friend, it doesn't even show you the entire world leaderboard. It says, this is your friend's leaderboard. You beat Crescente. Or Crescente is still number one. You know,
you're just picking a totally random name.
No, he's on my leaderboard.
I know.
He's your target.
He was, like, reviewing the game, like, when I was playing it, and, you know, we were basically...
Going back and forth.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a passive-aggressive, I think he put it, I think it's a pretty good way of putting it. It's kind of like a passive-aggressive way of competing against your friends.
If you want to do it that way, you can, but what's nice about it is it's just a little bonus at the end. You're playing the game, you have fun going through the race that takes like maybe 4 minutes or so, and then at the end, you know, okay, I beat the race, and, oh, I beat Crescente, or... Damn, Crescente! Right. So it's just a little extra fun thing because the race by all the races and different types of races they have, they're all really fun. But then to have this as a little bonus just brings it to the next level.
Well, and isn't it also suggesting people, friends, and stuff you should have? It's not just at the end of the race. This stuff, right? Isn't there like someplace you go that's like your Facebook wall that says, here's everything that's going on within this world among your friends and people who maybe should be your friends?
If you want, you can push a button and it'll say, here are the people that beat you you know, in, since the last time that you've come on.
That's pretty awesome. I really want to play that. I'm going to pick that up,
it's,
I think.
It's a super high-quality game. It's
looks so really good. Fun. It's like four times the size of Burnout Paradise, too. I think the
oh, Seacrest or whatever, well, the city.
You tend to play it in... You don't play it in, like, a free-roaming mode.
Right.
Okay? You just... They have the events set up and you choose, but there is a free-roam. If you want to just drive around... You can do that too.
Oh, nice.
But my kid loves it, I'll tell you that.
Really?
Because he's like, oh, he's like, police, be the police, be the police. And you can choose just the police events. Okay, now take a real car.
Right.
Do the real car. And
so which one's better? Which one do you find more fun? The police?
Like being, you know what? They're both really fun. I think I like being the police because it's a little more burnout-y because you're really supposed to smash into people. It's right. Like the Chase HQ, the arcade game.
Right,
game.
Right.
Yeah.
So you smash into the guys and take them out. And, of course, it's, you know, it's basically burnout. So it's you when you take them out, you can knock the guys off a cliff, basically, you know, over the rail. It's really kind of funny because you're supposed to be a cop and you're...
Right.
But... It's
God
just,
damn
it's
it, Cheapy!
But it's great.
Turn in your badge and gun. That's the last time you're knocking another guy off the cliff.
It's so much fun. And the only thing I'm concerned about is that I don't see a lot of people on my friends list playing it.
Really? I see a lot of people talking about it.
Are you playing on 360 or PS3?
360.
Okay.
It is that time of year where it's like, there's so many games. It's hard to be playing the one game, but like... For a racing game, I see a lot of people talking about it, but we already got off of GT5, so what does that say? Are you not...
I haven't decided how I'm going to pick it up yet.
It's got go-karts, it's got NASCAR, it's got freaking Volkswagen bus
in
there.
Does it have the rewind button that Forza had? That's the question.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's
it
got
has
the
it.
Driving line.
That's not enough, because okay. I'm not good.
Yeah. It's also crazy expensive. I don't know what it's like. I guess in the U.S. it's probably not that bad, but here it's like 8,000 yen, which is like $95 or something.
It's
so,
like paying for 6 years of development, basically.
Yeah, basically,
but
yeah.
Really, you can't argue. Like, a lot of the reviews are starting to come out now, and it is being praised for basically over-delivering, which is what... It's basically like the guy's a perfectionist. He's just
right.
Like cramming so much stuff. It is arguably too much too late.
Right.
But, I mean, 1,000 cars, 70-something courses.
Only so many of which were actually modeled like to the top level. You heard about that, right? There's like two sets of cars. There's
cars.
Some of the cars they spend more time on than others. So there's like two different sets of cars.
Damn, I can't drive my 1997 Mazda.
But, the Ford Taurus is not right, one of the... that is in there, by the way. I did check that.
Really? Yeah. But I got to say, like, I could feel the bug, like, creeping up. Like, it's like, you hear the theme music, and, like, I used to like GT back with 1 and 2, and then I sort of, like, lost interest. But it's been long enough now that I almost, if Need for Speed wasn't out, I would definitely buy it. But because Need for Speed is out, and I really want to play that, and I know I'm going to have more pure fun with that, because I'm not so much a car geek as just, I like racing games.
They're such different games, though, really, but it does come down
to
one or the other. Basically.
Well, not necessarily, but for that price, like, I don't know, I could wait for GT to go down in price before I'd probably get to it anyway.
I just
want to
see it on my TV, really.
Hey, what about on your TV, Jimmy? The 3D, whole 3D.
They're both
thing.
My TVs.
Yes, actually.
This TV is my TV.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. That's right. JJ inherited Chibi's old last TV, right?
TV, his stand, and his speakers.
Very nice.
The whole full boat.
I fixed your stand, by the way. Just
you made it nice?
Yes, I did.
That was actually the model room furniture for the apartment.
Really?
Yeah, so it was a freebie.
That's pretty awesome.
But so
you sure you're allowed to get rid of that?
Yeah. You're not gonna hit the GT5 because it's too hard?
I'm with John. I'm gonna wait. I haven't even tried the online in Need for Speed yet because I'm having so much fun with the single player, and then the online's supposed to be a lot of fun too. So I'll wait and see on GT. I just don't know if it's so hardcore. That's the thing, and I'm not willing to put in the hours. And the rewind button in Forza really spoiled me.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Basically, anytime you make a mistake, push the rewind button, you go back, and you can do it over. And, boy, that's pretty frustrating when you're doing a long race. You're doing, like, a 15-minute race, and you blow.
That was a really smart idea.
Super smart. Mm. And I don't know if I can live without that. That's the cool thing about Need for Speed is all the races are, like, 5 minutes or less. Mm. So even if you mess up, it's not the end of the world.
All right. Well, on that note, actually, why don't we take a little break, a bio break, as they like to call it in the corporate community, and we'll be back. We got more games to talk about. I know, Cheapy, you've been in Assassin's Creed.
Ooh, Aspro Creed.
Fable, if we have time for it. There's some other news to talk about. Has anybody been watching The Tester season 2?
Oh man, no, I haven't yet. No? I really need to.
I downloaded the first episode.
Well, that's no.
You also watched the whole first season, right? Because I did.
I'm embarrassed to say.
Yeah, it was good entertainment, man. I enjoyed it. I don't think Mark enjoyed it as much. He fell asleep a couple times. Yeah. We had like little tester parties, but yeah. It didn't work out.
I'm waiting for the Barmy spinoff.
So if there is a one intelligent person in all of Sony, Barmy is back at some point in the season as judge or something or whatever, or they do like a Heroes and Villains test for season
show.
3.
His own show.
They can have like Dark Barmy come out for the last episode totally to be like the last boss or something.
But he already had a goatee, so what would Dark Barmy look like?
I guess his skin would be purple.
It'd be clean shaven.
A cane and a white suit.
I think he already has a cane, doesn't he? Probably. Maybe. Anyway, awesome. Real quick, we'll just take a quick break and we'll be right back. Back. Unfortunately, we can't use Pac-Man Fever for the in-between music.
Really?
Because Player One Podcast used it.
Oh,
it sucks because I would have totally thought to use it, but now
right,
they ruined it for everybody. I hope they're happy. So let's round out the game talk now. There's a couple more games. This is kind of supposed to be a podcast about Japanese games.
I was just thinking.
Why don't we talk about one
about that.
That we promised as well. So JJ Tactics right. Ogre for the PSP.
Is if you just look at screenshots of this game, you would think they did just like a lazy port of a Super Nintendo game, because it looks just like a Super Nintendo game. The graphics are exactly the same.
The graphics haven't been updated at all.
They have, though. That's the cool thing, because it's like a Super Nintendo.
But wait, there's more.
Exactly. It's so cool. It looks exactly like the old game, but actually it hasn't, and that's what's awesome.
Because it's all in 3D.
Okay.
So, like, you can move the camera around. Well, you can't move it freely, but still, like, you can look on top of the field and stuff like that. Really helps.
It's like an isometric view where you can go around.
Well, you're at an isometric view, but you can look straight on top or to the side or whatever.
And that actually really helps?
Oh, it helps.
Well, you know how it is in those games. I mean, in Final Fantasy Tactics, it was super helpful just to move the camera around to kind of get an angle for where you're
shooting. That's what I mean. Like moving it around, like rotating it around sounds helpful, but looking at it on top.
Yeah, sometimes you can't tell if they're like exactly in your line of sight or anything
like that. Can you rotate 90 degrees like an FFT or no?
I don't remember if you can or not, but what I use the most is the one, the overhead view.
Okay, so back up just real fast for the few people who don't know what Tactics Ogre is. Just give people like a real quick primer and then talk about the old game as opposed to the new one.
So Tactics Ogre is a game that originally came out on the Super Nintendo, which brings it back to the Super Nintendo thing.
There you go.
You're so clever.
Thank you. Was it ever released in the States?
Yeah.
It was released in the States on the, I want to say, PlayStation, a crappy PlayStation port, basically.
So I don't think the Super Nintendo version ever came out. But, it was the strategy RPG, the Tactics version of
Ogre Battle.
Ogre Battle, which is a Queen song also. And
there's our song.
What JJ meant there, because that doesn't make any sense, is the subtitle of Ogre Battle, which is March of the Black Queen.
Is Ogre Queen Battle song. Is also a Queen song.
Oh, is it? Is it a song or a lyric?
It is a song.
Okay, and then Tactics Ogre's subtitle is
Let Us Cling Together,
which is
a lyric from their song Teo Toriate.
It's actually the subtitle of the song,
right? Okay. And it's the only Queen song that is in Japanese.
Now, the... Wait, are you serious? Or are you kidding?
Oh, there's
it's a great song.
Yeah.
Wow, Cheapy actually has something to talk about.
I know Queen. I don't know Tactics Ogre.
Freddie Mercury actually sings in Japanese. I didn't know this until I was an English teacher and we sang it in class.
Oh, nice.
All right, so basically...
That's why Queen is the background music for so many TV dramas here.
Right. Of course.
So, okay. So, like, you're asking me all these questions, but to be honest, I was not a big Tactics Ogre person. Like, I didn't own a Super Nintendo. I didn't really own a PlayStation. So, I actually have never played Final Fantasy Tactics.
Gasp. I feel like I should gasp, even though I haven't really either.
Really?
So.
Okay.
No. Oh, that game is so great.
So, like, I was... strategy RPGs, I was raised on Shining Force and, like, even more recently, all the Disgaea games and the Nipponichi series of strategy crazy RPGs.
Sure.
And so I didn't really... I was expecting, like, the typical strategy RPG, like, okay, you walk forward, like, put all your strongest guys in front and just, like, start... you know, killing guys left and right. But that is not the case in this game. Like, you've got things like line of sight that really matter. Like, if you're if you've got a warrior standing in front of an enemy and a magician standing directly behind your warrior, mm-hmm. like a few squares back,
right.
The magician can't hit the enemy because your warrior's in the way. It's like, oh, this okay. kind of stuff you've got to think about all of a sudden, like, really kind of impressed me, and I felt like, oh, wow.
Doesn't so height make a difference, too? Height on the
height
playfield?
Height does make a difference. Like, all this stuff...
None of this is really new for people who played Final Fantasy
exactly.
Tactics. But
so if people play Final Fantasy Tactics, they're like, oh, JJ.
But like, so cute.
Right. But for me, this is like, oh, okay. So
JJ's
this
first
is...
experience with a man's simulation.
Right. No, yeah. it, and it feels like that.
Well, it probably will be for a lot of people, though. So if you come from Shining Force, you're saying there's just many more layers of depth.
There is a lot more layers, and just, it's...
Not to an annoying point?
To an annoying point.
You're never like, I just want to fucking... I just want to go. Like, I don't want to have to think about a million different things.
Well, I mean, like...
This is not a game for like casual players, though,
no,
for sure. Like,
it is difficult.
You need to be able to willing to make an investment. Tactics Ogre is deep, and it's hard. And I think one of the things that they... don't laugh.
Keep going.
One of the things that is really impressive about this version is that they... Well, I think they did this on purpose, obviously, but you can basically... Maybe JJ can explain the details of
right.
it, but you can basically... go back
yes.
to every... The thing about Tactics Ogre, which is very ahead of its time, is it branches. The story branches in parts, and it significantly affects the outcome of the game. Like, changes the story, changes everything. But it changes, it does in a lot of places in the game. And so, you know, you would make your one choice, and then that's it. You're going that path the rest mm-hmm. of the game. But in this one, now you can actually go back to the branch points and change.
I think you're maybe thinking of this in a different way. They have this system called the Chariot System, which is... it's only for battles. Like... It memorizes 50 of your last moves, including the enemy moves, and you can go back up to 50 moves at any time.
Hmm. Wait, you can't go back to the story branching?
I don't think you
can. But that
can.
Was the whole point.
No, this system's only for battles. So
this is why you listen to A4Play for informed talk about Japanese games, because we don't know what we're talking
right.
about.
Right, no, because, like, basically it serves as an autosave, because, you know, a lot of people complain, like, oh, my favorite character died,
right.
and, like, there is permadeath in this game.
It's not permadeath if you can go back 50 moves.
Well, no, that's the thing, though, right? You would think, okay, I can go back 50 moves. This game is people with cakewalk, whatever. But bad tactics will not save you if you can go back, even if you can go back 50 moves. Like, since it counts the enemy turns as well, like, you really can only go back 2 attack turns.
Mm.
So it's not like you're one guy
so
left.
So you fuck up on accident. Or, oh, I forgot about that guy. I didn't see that guy there.
Right.
You can at least get that. But if your fundamental strategy is fucked up,
right.
you're fucked.
Right. So, like, yeah, you know, you use a magic attack and it hits one of your guys. You're like, oh, fuck, I didn't mean to do that. You can go back and that's good. But, like, you know, if you're at the end of the stage and you got one guy left and you're like, well, I want to redo it all, you either have to reset the system or just take your fate.
So any gripes?
It's really difficult. I a lot of people on the internet say it's actually easier, but for me it's too difficult. I don't mm-hmm. know. And I'm starting to understand what John was talking about a couple weeks ago. He was like, you should wait for the English version. And I'm like, yeah, it's a bit difficult to read because
right.
of, you know, it's just really
super deep layered story.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why I'm waiting. Not just because of that, though, but because I think the English will be as good as, if not better than the Japanese, just because of, you know, the guys that are working on it.
Exactly.
It's Alex Smith
right.
and those guys at Kajiya. And, you know, they really, they are, you know, some of the guys who worked on Vagrant Story and Matsuno's previous games. And, you know, when they're into the games, they do really, really, really good work. And you know this stuff is going to be, like, you know,
right.
top quality.
Right.
So I'm really excited to see what they do with the English version.
That's a cool thing for people who are excited. I don't think you have to be like, okay, well, the English version might be crappy or whatever it's going to come out. Like, it sounds like it's in really good hands. The trailer they released looked really good,
right,
like, as far as localization.
So I'm at a point right now where I just kind of, I feel like I just don't want to play anymore because I'm missing out on too much,
right?
So I want to wait. I'll hand the Japanese version off to my wife, but I want to...
It's out in February in the US. We were going to talk about that in the last episode, but I don't think it was public yet. But yeah, it comes out February, I think, 15th in the US,
something like that. Yeah.
So, yeah, super excited about that.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
And JJ,
in the meantime, you should go play
Final Fantasy Tactics for PSP, because that is basically, that was like the, in your words, baby version of Tactics Ogre
really?
For people. Yeah, well, I'm just being a jerk. But I mean,
know.
It's basically the simpler, easier, friendlier version of Tactics Ogre. It is a spiritual successor. It came out after Tactics Ogre.
Right.
Play it on PSP. It's really good.
Okay.
Yes, I will.
Maybe game that we'll talk about before we get into like a couple news items and then feedback. Cheapy, Fable 3 or Assassin's Creed, pick one. What do you want to talk about?
Assassin's Creed, definitely.
Really? That was easy.
That's an easy choice.
So why are people so people are excited about Assassin's Creed and they're like, it's actually better than the last game.
The last game was great.
But my thing is, like, it's a sequel. Of course it's better than the last. If it's not better than the last game, like, I've seen a bunch of people actually mention that.
Fable 3 wasn't better than the last game.
Oh,
really?
Aw, snap.
Really?
Nope. And in fact, I obviously started playing Fable 3 before Assassin's Creed Brotherhood because it came out earlier. But I'm going to have a really hard time going back to Fable 3 until I finish Assassin's Creed.
Aw, Governor, you're not going to play the Fable 3 then.
Too right.
Oh.
Too right.
Too many, a bit boring. Too many precious moments for you then. Too many precious moments for figurine character models then.
That's kind of my problem with that game, actually. Yeah,
too much of a fan. I like what they do in terms of gameplay and the ideas in it, but it just looks so fucking ugly.
It is ugly as sin. Yeah. I can't.
Fable.
Yeah.
I'm just not into that
especially on my giant TV, and that really looks ugly.
Okay, well, so Assassin's Creed, and you were talking about the multiplayer you're actually
that having. The multiplayer is awesome.
So, and what's the deal?
Here's the deal. Basically, they've come up with a multiplayer mode that hasn't really been done before, which is... In this day and age, you don't really see that.
Splinter Cell is like the last time that somebody came up.
It's not Capture the Flag. It's not Team Deathmatch.
Right.
It's not Free for All. So,
right. Or Left 4 Dead probably was the last other multiplayer thing.
Right.
It was really original. But anyway, yeah.
So the main mode, have you guys, no one's played it?
No, not yet. Okay, I'm still waiting.
The main
mode. I think it comes out here this week.
The main single player mode that I like the best has you, it's eight players in a game, and they will assign you a target to assassinate. And there are people who are assigned to assassinate you. And you choose one of maybe a dozen different characters. And, you know, if you've played any type of open world game, you know, that you see, like, the same character models over and over again, okay?
Right.
But now they take this and they use it for the gameplay.
Mm.
So let's say you choose... There's a guy called the Barber, and he has a razor blade. There's a lot of barbers in the game world while you're playing.
You did air quotes there when you said
that.
Right. People playing at home.
So you'll be walking around the game level, and there's someone assigned to kill the barber. And you happen to be a barber, but there's also a lot of other computer-controlled barbers as well. And the game will lead you to the general direction of your target. But it won't tell you exactly where your target is. It won't put a marker over your head. So you basically have to see... You look at the... When you get to the area, you see maybe this person looks like it's not being controlled by the computer.
Yeah.
They're doing something a little erratic. If they're running up on a roof, that's a really good sign that they're...
Right.
They're not run by the computer. But it's just really... It's not like a Twitch type of multiplayer experience where it's the fastest reflexes are going to win. It's not that. There's some strategy to it. You know, there's different... Obviously, there's a leveling up process where you unlock... abilities and things,
right?
So you can customize how you play.
So this sounds so somebody's job, is it only one guy that everybody else is out to kill?
No. You are assigned, everybody's assigned, you can be assigned to the same person as somebody else.
Okay.
There could be, depending on how well you're doing in the game,
yeah.
If you're doing really well, like if you're number one, there could be, you know, several people going
assigned
for you.
Mm.
Right.
Oh,
in which
okay.
case, your strategy changes now.
Right.
If there's three people coming after you, it's going to be tough.
Do you know that there are people? How many people?
It tells you how many people are coming after you. It doesn't tell you know, what the character is. Just says it'll show you how many people and how many people are going after your target as well.
So part of the game becomes trying to act like a computer-controlled guy.
Absolutely.
Which sounds exactly to me like Spy Party, right? The game that's been...
Yeah.
Yeah, this game, if you haven't heard of it, and chances are you haven't, Google it. Or follow him on Twitter, because this game definitely deserves your attention. This is a game. Have you heard of this, John?
I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it.
Oh, so you know what? I was thinking of Spy vs. Spy for the Super for the desktop.
Not that.
Yeah, kind of sounds a little like that.
30
but
years
not.
Late.
Yeah. Well, basically, what this game is there's a party going on, and it's filled with guys, kind of like a high society party. And one person, it's a two player game. One person is a sniper. And has like a laser sight, and the other guy is in the party in this room with all these different AI controlled characters, and where the sniper is looking, the other person can see where this laser's going, and the other person who is the spy has like three jobs, I think it is, to do in order to beat the sniper, and one of them is like, put a bug on an ambassador, like one certain guy has to do something to a statue in the room. You have to do these three like assigned tasks. And so basically you are trying, one guy is trying to pretend to be like a computer controlled AI guy and just to blend in and do these different things. And the other guy is trying to sniff out, okay, who's the guy, because the other person could choose anybody, who's the guy who's a real person pretending to try to be a computer controlled person. Which is a fucking genius idea.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Totally out of nowhere. I have to wonder if they were inspired or...
Yeah, which came first.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Where
exactly.
Do you play this? Where is Spy Party?
Well, so it's not out yet. It's,
oh, okay.
It's only been at a few like indie game festivals and that sort of thing. But,
okay.
He has a blog. He's a Facebook fan page. Definitely follow him on Twitter and that stuff.
What's his name?
I don't...
Chris...
Hendrick? He worked on Spore. He's worked on some established
stuff. So if you look up Spy
before, if you look up Spy Party, you'll definitely find it. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, I think it's a brilliant
idea. Heckler.
That's right. I'm glad it's getting worked into like mainstream games, but I almost hope it doesn't like take any thunder away from Spy Party, because this game definitely deserves, I think, people's.
I think it's different enough because it is. I mean, there is some action involved. There'll be points where you have to chase people down. You know, if somebody sees you coming, they'll just book off.
Yeah. So what's your hope at that point? Can you run off and try to blend back in? I mean, do you?
That's the thing. So there's really a lot of nuance to the game, which makes it really exciting. So if you see somebody coming after you, and by coming after you, usually it's just like, you know, everything moves sort of slowly. You're walking around and you're in a crowd and everything's happening around you. And maybe, just maybe, you see somebody turn towards you, coming at
they
you.
Do like a stutter step.
And they just turn a little bit towards you. And you're like, wait a minute, that guy just turned towards me. He could be coming after me. And at that point, you have to decide, before he gets too close, am I going to throw a smoke bomb and try to choke him and then maybe stun him? Or am I just going to run away and book out of there? Or am I going to maybe veer off to the right a little bit and see if he follows me? And it's all like, it happens.
Wow. It sounds really cool.
And it's moving slow, but yet not that slow. So you have to decide quickly. But if they do come after you, then so you can run away. That's one thing you can do. Like I said, you can throw a smoke bomb and then stun them. And if they run it, you know, they'll choke and you can hit them.
Right.
And then you can, if you get away from them, then they lose you as a contract.
So you can't kill them, though?
You can't kill them. You can stun them,
okay,
which will get you points.
Well, what's their punishment for killing the wrong barber?
They lose you as a contract.
So that's...
you can get points if like you're close as the target. You'll get points if they kill the wrong person, and if somehow the machine decides that you've tricked them into killing the wrong person.
Like
you're hiding, because there's different skills you can unlock to disguise yourself or to turn other characters into your character model.
Cool.
It's really fun and it's really different. And for a game like that, which it's like the third version of this game to come out with something unique.
Right.
Yeah.
A mainstream game like that.
Is a single player game different really at all, though? Is that pretty much?
They've made the combat a lot more fun and a lot more interesting. And there just seems to be a lot of stuff to do. It seems much bigger.
Right.
I really need to get back to that game. I never finished Assassin's Creed 2. I started it. It was fun.
It starts slow.
Yeah, I kind of lost it. I was impressed by it in a lot of different ways, but I kind of lost. The story didn't grab me. I played it for maybe like 4 or 5 hours.
That's when it starts to turn.
Really?
Okay.
It's about 5 hours.
Yeah.
So it's maybe it's a lot of hours for it to stick with it, but it does get much better after that.
Okay. All right. Well, so I think that's about it. You were going to talk maybe about Alan Wake DLC, but you want to just give a very quick... You're like a huge Alan Wake fan.
I really liked Alan Wake
a lot. You like have the DVD versions and the Blu-ray of the webisodes that they released?
I did watch all the webisodes. I did.
I need to play that one too.
I didn't even know those existed, by the way.
They forgot to market those. They forgot to market the game, basically.
John, you can download the whole game on... You can just download it.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's on the store now. Yep. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so if you are interested, I did see that. I kind of thought about doing it the other day. I just didn't want to redo the first level again. But.
Yeah, note to publishers, you need to do more of that, because people like me are going to buy a lot more games if they're right there in front of me when I'm looking for a game. Like maybe it's because I'm in another country. I don't know, but still.
Except when you don't know about them.
Your knock against the first Alan Wake DLC, it was too hard?
It was really combat. It's funny because like the game, you thought, you know, with the whole webisode, basically they're sort of testing the waters on webisodes. That's what you sort of thought was going to happen. And Alan Wake is very story heavy, the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that when the DLC comes out, that that's going to really continue the story and sort of wrap up the story.
Right.
But instead, they decided to really focus on combat.
See, I would actually think that, though, because by that time you figure, okay, the person has played the shit out of the game. They know the combat. Any normal difficulty is going to be easy for them. So you have to make what would be kind of the next level in terms of difficulty.
But you wanted them to sort of wrap up the story a little bit. And right. instead, it's just they threw a lot of guys at you to kill.
I see.
And the second piece of DLC, I don't know if they're going to wrap it. I haven't finished it yet, but so far they haven't seemed to really wrap up anything. But I still really like the game a lot.
Mm. All right. Wait, but you haven't finished the DLC. That's kind of...
It's just so many games.
So many games.
Yes.
That's the EGM cover.
I was waiting for the new TV also.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's about it, I think, for games. News we didn't talk about last time, actually. So the PSP2 prototype dev unit thing came out since our last episode. Seems to have a touchscreen on the back, like people have been saying.
Touch panel, at least.
Camera on both sides.
Two cameras. Yeah. But did anybody ever confirm if that thing was actually legit, that picture? Or?
No, but it seemed like it was. It was supposedly an old prototype. It wasn't the final form factor. It had a slide up.
Right.
The form factor for
falls in line
thing.
With some of the stuff we've heard and you know, people have been talking about.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
And also in line with what we even heard, the PlayStation phone. That there's a whole back and forth thing on that. We forgot to talk about that at last episode. That
I didn't forget. I don't care.
Happened a while ago. What? You don't care?
Does
about
anybody
that?
Care?
The PlayStation phone.
You, what do you mean? Does anybody care? How many people own a fucking iPhone?
Everybody.
PlayStation phone is not for me. At
exactly.
All.
Everybody really? Owns an iPhone.
Yeah.
I do not.
And that's
care.
Why people don't care about a PlayStation phone.
Yeah.
Right.
And the PlayStation phone is running Android. It's not even going to be able to play.
It's never going to be as good as iPhone. It's never going to be as worth not having my.
And it's
iPhone.
Not going to be as good as a PSP.
Exactly. I just want a PSP2 that plays good games and is cool. I don't care about the phone.
Even a PlayStation phone can play Monster Hunter. Can play at PS1
games. But
it's
not going to play PSP Monster Hunter. It's going to play Android version of Monster Hunter.
No, I think it would play PSP. It would play PSP games. It would play PS1 games.
Can I still use my phone after I play for an hour? Is the battery going to be dead?
Good question. Yeah, I don't care. I like my iPhone a lot. I'm happy with it. I don't need another phone. Sony should focus on what they do best, because Sony really is their biggest problem in the last couple of years is trying too many things and getting watered down. Like, just stick to what you know? Get away from the phone crap. Nobody cares.
I think it would be interesting, maybe difficult, how they will separate, okay, here's what is available for the PlayStation phone, and here's what's available for the PlayStation Portable 2, and here's the difference between them, and here's the audience for this.
Exactly.
And
good luck getting people, because did people ever understand what PSP Go was or why it existed? No. Nobody did. Nobody does. Nobody may ever know, right? And it's the same problem. It's like they need to kind of reel it in a little bit and really focus on the stuff that they do good. You know, people understand. They're starting to understand PS3, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And PSP, from everything I hear, it sounds like PSP2 is going to have a hard time at it in America. Like, people do not... I mean, I have, maybe because we're over here and it sells well, but I seem to think more highly of it than most of my friends in the U.S. Most of the people we talk to are like, PSP doesn't have a shot in hell.
Well, the PSP just gets bagged on nonstop in America, but I tell you, I get on the subway and, like, I really do see more PSPs than DSs these days.
Here.
Yeah, in Japan.
It's a very interesting scenario where it's a system that has a chance of doing really well here and just maybe not elsewhere.
You see big, but there's still like big budget releases. There was a game today.
A couple. Well, Image at Bach.
Yeah.
Unveiled two of their new JRPGs for the PSP,
and
which
it's
is
like,
I just don't understand, but you know.
Why
but,
they would do PSP, you mean?
No, yeah. I would think they would be moving to 3DS or something.
But there's that many of them out there.
It's true.
It's a totally established market as opposed to 3DS, which already has a crowded launch lineup. And it is a weird split, because the Japanese companies, we've talked about this before, but the Japanese companies are making games for PSP because the market's there, but then it makes no sense to bring them out in America.
Right. It seems to me like if you're basically thinking of your game strictly as a Japan release, then maybe PSP makes sense. But if you want any shot at it being a worldwide hit, you kind of have to go 3DS at this point, right? Because just PSP is not going to sell over there.
Kind of. But, you know, if PlayStation 1, like, think about it, we'll probably be seeing big, new, major PSP games announced from people like Square, Square Enix and people like that for like 2 or 3 more years, even past when PSP 2 comes out, right? Because it's like that market is still there.
Well, I mean, we've seen Level 5 move on, and I think they'll the rest of Japan will probably follow them.
What do you mean move on? They
unveiled like 5 3DS games.
Well, it's true. They only have like one PSP game.
Yeah,
right. Now, well, versus... but they are. I mean, they're still doing PSP.
Yeah. Throwing a bone.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Speaking of throwing a bone. That's not a real segue.
Put your pants back on.
Sorry.
Oh no! Actually, speaking of throwing a bone, reader feedback.
Yes. All right.
Yeah. What was your name that you came up for that?
I didn't come up with one.
It was backfeed.
No.
It was bone throw.
Feederbacker. Feedbacking. Or something.
Whatever. We don't have a name.
Some trademarked thing. Let's see. Not enough. So this is actually real feedback from real readers.
Real people.
Yeah,
true story.
Real listeners,
we've been
true story.
we've been getting a lot of it for like since the first episode, but we just never really got around to being organized enough to attempt to read
it. And we'll be better about getting more organized. We actually want to set up a voicemail. Is another thing we want to steal from Player One, which is an excellent podcast
that you should listen to.
Yeah,
yes. PlayerOnePodcast.com
voicemail hotline. Cheapy, do you have one of those?
We don't do that, and I'll tell you why.
Okay. Tell us why.
Most people can't speak. And it would probably.
But that's funny. That's comedy gold.
But the problem is the extra production time to put that into the show is not really worth the fact of hearing. To hear people's voices.
Yeah.
I can edit people's questions while I read them much better than.
No, you can't, because it's not as interesting hearing it from you as it is from them. Because
I'm very interesting.
No, but in as far as the production time.
You're not doing the production on the show.
Well, not yet.
But not yet. You're never going to do it.
Okay, JJ's not ever.
Doing it.
Not ever.
Right.
But they have a setup whereby which you hear it. Oh, really? Yeah,
well, I know what people do.
Oh, okay.
Well, but it's a lot of work, though.
To be fair, every now and then they're stretching. They get like 3 feedback messages, and like 2 of them are just
I want to know about a mental hospital. Xbox.
Well, our listeners are all incredibly intelligent, beautiful, super sophisticated, gorgeous,
Adonis,
attractive.
Very know that social. There's only one podcast about Japanese games.
People, right. Exactly.
And all the beautiful people listen to
us. So anyway. Well,
JJ doesn't want it.
JJ is going to get it. JJ wants it. He knows he wants it. No means yes with JJ.
We'll give out his cell phone number in the next episode.
No. So anyway, but for now, we're sticking with email. So let's see. Hacker alias Noveri had this comment on our last episode. Not enough Sporsk. In this episode.
Yes.
Or Spursk.
Spursk.
How do you pronounce your name, JJ?
You know, it started as Sporks, so just say Sporks.
He's canceling his pre-order for next week's show, so what's up? Why don't you pipe up a little bit more?
I'd just like to see the lay of the land and then interject when I feel appropriate.
Hiroko, we get a lot of comments, too, where people want more of you.
Right. Yeah, I'll try.
All right.
She's been speaking a little more.
That's true.
We had pretty good amount of Hiroko this week, I think.
It was a good, and last week we had some good feedback on that.
JJ's got to save his energy for editing in all those voicemails.
Exactly.
All right, hacker alias, I don't know, Sater, Xater.
Zater.
While we're at suggestions, please talk about arcade games. Japan still has some interesting stuff. Spread the love of Border Break.
So we did kind of talk about arcade game today.
Yeah.
I do go to arcades from time to time. I haven't played Border Break. It's kind of scary, to be honest. Like, there's like this whole culture. For those who don't know, Border Break is this squad-based mech third-person shooter that's made by Sega.
Virtual On, sort of?
Not Virtual On, like, more in line of what the kind of shooters you play at home on the Xbox and stuff like that.
Right.
But it's got, like, touchscreen controls and then, like, a mouse joystick sort of thing. It's insane. Hmm. And it's really cool looking. If you go search on YouTube for Border Break, you'll see
it. One of those big, like, in a room, like, kind of networked arcade games?
Well, yeah, there's, like, five games kind of lined up in one thing, and, you know, they'll all play next to each other. And it's all networked, so you can play people in other arcades and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. But it's just one of those things, like, you know, you see all the guys lined up, and it's hard to get into, so.
Mm. Well, maybe we'll try that out.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should.
We could do another arcade run.
Yeah, I don't want to say like we're going to talk a lot about arcade games because there's really not that many out there to begin with. But I mean, I do think we'll every now and then hit the arcades and see what's going on.
And that is one of the things Japan still has. I mean, I will say, like, I was in Akihabara 2 weeks ago just totally randomly, and like the whole setup of what Virtua Fighter, I mean, this is old news, but like what Virtua Fighter has as far as its online and networked game is fucking amazing.
Right, and you can watch TV while you're waiting. Like, yeah. They'll show Virtua Fighter matches and all sorts of crazy shit.
And like the level at which people are playing that are still left playing is fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's sort of like, it's kind of a peek into an alternate universe where like arcade culture continued to go on. Exactly. It's almost as if like, you know, as if like Super Nintendo never died and they kept making games. You could see what it's like. That's what it is like with arcades here.
So there you go. There was more talk about arcade games and JJ talking more at once.
That's right.
Two birds with one stone.
Double up on all
like arcades. I used to work at one.
For a number of years, right? Yep. We'll talk more about that at some point when we're really desperate for stuff. So Hacker Alias Raging Spaniard had this to say about our episode Super Game Masters. If you could elaborate what needs, quote, fixing, unquote, in Monster Hunter in order for U.S. players to embrace it, that would be cool. So yeah, that might be a good segment for our next Christmas special. A traditional Christmas Japanese Christmas Monster Hunter special.
We can get some
Kentucky Fried Chicken. We touched on it a little bit. I know in one of our previous episodes, but yeah, we could definitely get into that more. So we should maybe save that for next week.
And we will. Hacker Alias Brian T had this to say from our Jacket Heart episode. What is 8-4's YouTube's channel URL? we don't actually have one. I have one that we upload some stuff to sometimes. Game Jesus, basically, it's that Professor Layton Gyakuten Saiban video.
Right.
It has 250,000 views and a few others that didn't very really impressive. Do much. Yeah.
I have a few quality videos on my YouTube channel.
Which is your YouTube channel?
SP0RSK.
Okay.
It's mostly video game theme. You'll see some kind of stupid things that I've recorded myself. But
sounds awesome.
Yeah. YouTube.com/GBD.
Yeah.
Anyone?
There you go.
Yes.
Chibi, actually, you have your big claim to fame is the Xbox Red Ring of Death Fix video.
My towel trick. This is really interesting, actually. My towel trick video for the 360 Red Ring just hit 2 million views.
Wow. Nice.
It still gets, it gets like 1,000 or 2,000 views a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because people have broken 360s. Well, that's one thing that is constant in the universe.
Friend of ours just broke yesterday. We celebrated Thanksgiving early because there's a holiday in Japan on that Tuesday. Our first of many Thanksgiving, the next of which is our host is Mr. ChibiD himself, actually.
Surrounded by Thanksgivings.
Yes. Yay. But our friend right there in front of us, Red Ring of Death for the first time. But I mean, you probably come up on the first page of Xbox Broken or Red Ring.
If you search for, Towel Trick or something, Xbox Towel Trick.
How much money are you making on that thing a day?
I don't know. Probably not.
Do you have an ad on that sucker?
I don't remember. Probably. I just got into the partner. I got into the partner program pretty recently, actually.
From the towel trick.
Not from that. Just from my general. Right. I don't know.
You got some other fun stuff on there.
You put some good videos up, yeah.
Ordering a pizza, eating a Whopper 7.
The Whopper
burger.
7. Video,
was that 7? Oh, yeah, that's right. 7.
Playing that dancing game with Ty. What was the.
Kissy Poo. Kissy Poo is pretty awesome.
Kissy Poo, indeed. Speaking of Kissy Poo, Hacker Alias Jack Bauer had this to say about our Jacket to Hard episode. We talk a lot about another NES episode, a Resident Evil episode, which we are going to do the shit out of a Resident Evil episode.
I will be asleep during that episode.
I think it's a great idea. You don't have to come to that episode, okay? Maybe you're not fucking invited to that episode. Maybe you'll just be editing voicemail for that episode.
Good. Right?
I think it's a great idea now that Retronauts podcast is dead. RIP, Retronauts. In fact, I hope you really implement something like this. Maybe you can do a retro game segment each episode where you reminisce about old games.
I like this idea.
Yeah, so we've been talking about, we've been threatening for a long time. We actually have a lot of ideas. We really, really do about
we're not just making that.
Different stuff to be doing instead of this random grab bag of whatever the fuck.
I think a lot of people don't realize, probably don't. We just really wing it. We just come totally unprepared. And I mean, I hope. Sorry, I guess.
It will get better. Yeah. That's all we can promise, is that we'll definitely get better. I will say we are going to do something on the Super Nintendo / Super Famicom.
Definitely.
In 2 weeks, like we talked about. What's the date on that? December 17th?
Hopefully, yeah.
And Mr. Kevin Gifford from our Famicom episode, we will have in there talking about it. Cheapy, we probably won't have you there because you hate Japan and all things Japanese games. Yeah. You probably never owned a Super Nintendo.
Absolutely. And you want to know what made me buy a Super Nintendo? What?
Chrono Trigger.
Some LucasArts game or something.
Close. I went to a game store and they had Batman Returns on the display, on the demo running, and it had the actual soundtrack from the movie in the game. And the music was so awesome. Mm-hmm. The actual sound quality, I was like, this kicks the shit out of Genesis. I gotta get a Super Nintendo.
Did we talk about that Super Metroid soundtrack done on a Genesis YouTube video that
I don't know if we talked about it. I've seen it.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. It does kind of hit home though how much better the Super Nintendo sound chip was. And
Super Star Wars too. All the Super Star Wars games also.
Those games amazing. Sucked in retrospect. Really? Those games sucked ass, but at the time,
but the sound was
awesome. Kind of excited. Yeah.
Just to hear the music, and it sounded like real. You could almost think it was like from the real album.
The starting
amazing.
Right. All right. So speaking of amazing, hacker alias Andrew S.
is on amazing.
Our Super Game Masters episode. Having Kevin on more often is a great idea because he's funny and he had a lot of interesting things to say. I've actually listened to this thing twice. He thinks it's the best one we put out. Here's the thing. So we do want to have Kevin, and we are planning on having Kevin on more often. It's gonna be early in the morning his time though when we record.
Right,
so
he doesn't start drinking usually till 11 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. 11 is usually his Bloody Mary time. He was drunk during that episode.
He was so drunk
at 11 a.m.
Might have noticed.
That was when he was here live.
Yeah, when he was here. But we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, we should. Preface, you were saying he'll be on for the Super Nintendo thing. That's assuming all the technical stuff actually works.
Oh,
we're going to try
it.
But,
it'll happen. You promise it first, and then you make it happen.
Right.
That's why you do that.
That's why I work overtime.
Hacker Edge Crusher asks, can we get a track list for the music used during the breaks?
I fought for this. You guys said no, but...
Well, I don't think anybody said no. I think we just said...
I kind of said no. Oh, okay. We talked about it, and the one thing is you don't want people to see it before they listen to the episode, but what I think we'll do is when we post the next episode, we will post the music for the previous episode. Oh. We'll just put another update.
That sounds fair enough. Good compromise.
On 8.4.
So JJ tomorrow will go back and get a list of everyone from every episode so far up to last episode for us to post with this week's episode.
Or you can just post his phone number and people can call and ask him.
I can answer.
Live support.
Just hum it for them. Right. Hum them a 20-second sample.
We do have MP3s of me humming stuff.
And if you keep threatening, we might show them.
Please don't.
All right. Hacker alias Tomo. Milwaukee, oh my god, you know you're in for it here. asks or says, it would be great to hear Hiroko's insight. It would be great to hear more about the mentality of Japanese game developers / studios, especially considering that you, Hiroko, have firsthand experience working with them. Well, to be fair, we all have firsthand experience.
Wait, that's true.
I don't have any
fucking racist Tomoaki. But he will be hearing more of that from all of us. Another idea we have is a little more about what we do here and games we work on and stuff like that. I will say just this, we're working on a fucking kick-ass amazing project right now that I wish we could talk about, and I can't wait till we can talk about. But hopefully when and if we can, we can share a little insight on that.
Yeah, usually like every 6 or 8 months or so, like kind of a few different games that we worked on hit at once, but it just so happens that right now we're in this like weird spell where we've actually finished some games that aren't coming out for a long time, so like there's nothing really interesting or new to talk about. They're done, but they're not going to be around for a while, so maybe next year we'll have some cool stuff to talk about on that front.
Yeah, so this next one kind of plays into that. Hacker alias Joel asked from
Joel?
A while ago, and just Joel. Not everybody has to be Tomoaki. Says wants us to talk about the work on Nier. localization amazing. If you guys talked about your hand in that even for a moment, he would love it. So I think it what would be cool, we have to be a little careful about what we talk about when we talk about our work, but I think we can talk in general terms about different things and different mm-hmm. projects. Mm-hmm. We are kind of thinking about getting different people on that we've worked with and
mm-hmm. right.
different projects, but that has to go through a lot of different layers of permissions and bureaucracy and stuff yeah. like that. Near would definitely be one a lot of people have asked about. It would yeah. be cool definitely. To talk to mm-hmm. talk to different people who mm. worked on it on our side. I yeah. mean, it's not just us on any project. So.
Right, right.
But anyway, yeah, we hear you on that, and we're planning to. Would love to do that. Finally, Hacker Alias Jesse Bailey. That's actually probably just the person's real name.
Yeah.
I would personally enjoy hearing about Japanese culture, food, fashion, etc. I'm not suggesting this as a segment or any sort of focus, but I would encourage this sort of conversation if it comes up naturally. So just keep that in mind.
I would like to know if people want to hear more of that too, because you know when yeah. we did like we were talking about doing the show for years, and we did some test runs a long time ago. And when we were doing test runs, you know, we would just talk about whatever, and sometimes it was fun. We would talk about what's on TV or what's in the convenience stores or whatever.
Right.
You know, as we potentially get more segmented, I'd wonder if that's the kind of thing we'd want to get into or not. Like, I don't know. I really don't know what people care about.
Cheapy, you're yeah. nodding. Well, you've done videos.
People want to know what kind of condoms are available.
I know you talk about. I know you talk about toilets and ordering stuff like a that pizza quite a bit on your podcast.
I think I've sold a lot of those toilets, by the way.
As well, you should have.
Yeah, yeah. They're totally worth the money.
Japan has the yes. best toilets yeah. yes. anywhere,
and baths.
And
you can have them here. You don't go back. And you've done like videos about like ordering a pizza in Japan.
Sure.
You get a bunch of views.
So wait, when you ordered a pizza, did you do the thing on Domino's where they have like this 30-minute video that you watch of these girls with big boobs making pizzas and stuff?
What are you talking about?
There's a big video that comes on their website.
Right.
Yeah, but after you finish your order.
I used to order pizza before they changed the website.
Really?
Which was a challenge for me after they changed it.
Wait, all I do is I play like a Flash mini game to get a 10% off coupon. There's videos of girls with big boobs.
Yeah, it's actually not as cool as you think it is. Like, you order your pizza and then like they have the waiting show, and then in like 10 minutes of it is this like really bad guy that's supposed to be gay, like flamboyant and stuff, like picking out a pizza for 10 minutes.
This is Domino's Pizza like corporate website?
Yeah. I have a feeling JJ's you know over
No.
Sure, you're not talking about a porno you saw?
No. Yeah. No, this is I'm being serious. He has like a flamboyant ascot on, and he's like, "Oh no, the pepperonis need to go over here," and blah blah blah. And it's just
okay.
Is this guy famous?
No. Like, no, none of these people are famous.
Really?
It's like low budget, but it's 30 minutes and then like a periodically shows where your pizza is.
Uh-huh. I've been gone from the US for almost 10 years now. Actually, by the next episode we will be at my tent right the week I was gone for 10 years, and I wonder is it like this in the US now too, where you can completely order your pizza on the website?
I'm gonna say no. Really? No, not that you can't order your pizza, but that like a flamboyantly gay guy shows up and then girls with big boobs show up to kill time until your pizza gets there.
But it is super convenient. Like, we don't order pizzas that much, I'm guessing, but like, you know, it'll remember your order and everything. Yeah. Everything you could do on the website.
Very
you don't have to call
though.
Anyone.
It's good though. Well, if you get a Japanese cheese pizza, you can get one for under 1,000 yen, 10 bucks.
And they dress up as Santa Claus during Christmas.
No shit.
That's right. Yeah.
Do they really?
Like that?
They deliver in a full Santa Claus. In fact, I remember.
We need to do that.
It's not demeaning enough already that they work for Domino's Pizza driving a little fucking scooter around town. Now they have to be dressed like Santa fucking Claus.
Girl shows up at my apartment in full Santa Claus, no beard, but full Santa Claus outfit.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I didn't know that was going to happen. And in my awful Japanese, I asked her if I could take a picture of her, right? Shashin no totemo ii desu ka, right? And she looked at me as if I just asked if I could rape her with tentacle penis. And I was like...
Well, she even took the beard. You know that she's probably supposed to be wearing the beard, but she's just like, she has too much pressure. She's like, all right, fuck it. I'm just not going to wear the beard, all right? I draw the line at the beard.
Yeah. I think a lot of time when the door opens and they see the giant white guy there, that's like a big
shell shock. Right?
And then when the giant white guy says, can I take a picture of you?
So wait, did she not say yes?
She just stared at me.
Really?
She didn't even respond. She just stared. So I just assumed totally awkward, and I just assumed that was a no, so I just paid.
With customer service here, that is the equivalent of like throwing the pizza in your face and fucking storming away.
I think she was still just stunned by the the really awkward. I mean, this was in my old neighborhood where like I was the white guy in the town. Like that was me. Right, I was the white guy.
I know that feels.
I lived in a very big apartment building. It must have had, you know, it was 30 stories, probably 10 apartments on a floor, and I was the only white guy in the entire building. Right. So
she was like, "Oh, it's you. I heard about you."
Right, yeah, definitely, because I would order. I would order a lot, and I think there was like a shock thing.
That's right.
Hilarious. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, why don't we wrap it up then on that note? Order pizza or something. Cheapy, let's give people all where they can find you. You have like 10 email addresses that come up when I start to email you on Gmail, by the way.
Well,
you still have a Mac.com.
They all go to the same place for the most part.
All right. So, but
for Black Friday, you know, just go to cheapassgamer.com. We'll have everything right there for you. If you want to be entertained while you wait up for the Black Friday deals to come online,
we all do.
Just go order a Domino's pizza and then there'll be a video.
Yeah.
We do a live show. At 1 a.m. Eastern time.
I was on that show once upon
a
time.
You were? Maybe you'll do it again?
I would love to.
On Friday.
I would love to.
So 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. Eastern time, you know, I guess that's Friday morning.
Wait, you actually do it. You do it in midnight America time, your live show.
Yeah. So it's really three in the afternoon here, but so it works out well for me.
I was going to say, three in the afternoon.
Wombat and Chip. No, but people are waiting up for the deals to come online. Like midnight or 3 a.m., depending if it's
sense.
Amazon deals come online 3 a.m. Friday morning.
It's possible it's likely by the time most people are hearing this, that will have already happened.
It'll be Black Friday 2011, but that's okay. Whatever. So,
go back and listen to it afterwards? Is there like a recording of it?
Yeah, but it's a bad recording, and I really advise people don't listen to it.
You have a cassette recorder to you.
Well, no, it's just the thing. We do use Blog Talk Radio. I mean, it's
okay.
Stupid, but it's whatever. It's cheapassgamer.com, Black Friday. Just do it.
Otherwise, if people are in the giving mood this holiday season. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, this is awesome.
If you follow us on Twitter, if you're a new follower at our video game deals account on Twitter, I will donate 25 cents to Child's Play. So we're up to $600 right now through that. Mm-hmm. And if it's not enough, I'll double it by the time Christmas comes online. If it doesn't get significantly more than that, I'll double it.
That's a really cool idea, though. That's
awesome.
Cool of you to be doing.
And we're doing a raffle also, which last year raised $42,000.
Nice.
So we're looking for 60 grand this year. So if you just go to cheapassgamer.com, you'll see right on the very top of the page on the little like header there.
Is that the thing that you're doing with all the GameStop gift cards or what?
That's over. That was an old contest.
Oh, okay.
That we did.
You're always doing a contest of one kind.
I like to to give back.
To the little people, little swarthy.
GameStop. I mean, peasants. I use it as like a hook to get advertisers too. Like so, GameStop was interested in advertising, and I said, hey, you know, if you buy this much, I'll take the money that you give me and I'll buy $10,000 worth of gift cards and I'll give them out over the course of your
campaign. Give away all your secrets. That guy is listening. What's his name?
I don't want to give
we won't.
So what is the deal though with the raffle? Like, how does that work? Because that's a lot of money, $42,000. What do you do? Just a brief explanation.
John's like, how do I get on this gravy train?
Basically, we have a widget on the site, and for every $5, and the money goes right to Child's Play when you donate. It doesn't come to me, and then I give it to Child's Play. It just goes right to their PayPal.
It's
already started. For every $5 that you donate through our widget, you are entered into, you get a raffle ticket. So if you give $100, you'll get 20 raffle tickets.
Okay.
And we have a lot of prizes. The grand prize for the raffle is every console and handheld that is available right now. So
that's awesome.
And the good one. So like you get an Xbox, you get the Xbox 250 gigabyte with Kinect. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the PS3.
You don't get like your used Red Ring.
No, you don't get like the 4 gigabyte
Japanese model.
Aren't you even offering like a 3DS for people if they want, like us as one of them?
Right, everything.
Okay,
that's amazing.
And an iPad. So one winner is going to get this super prize package with every console, handheld, iPad, $500 gift card.
Christ,
to buy
games. We get it. My God, jeez.
And there's like 50 other prizes also.
All right,
wow.
Very cool.
And then they can follow you personally at GPD on Twitter.
That's right. My phone number. No.
Hiroko, if people want to find you,
Hiroko84 on Twitter.
You can find me, John, at JohnTV on Twitter.
I'm JJ, S-P-R-S-K.
I'm well tired, established. Guys. Mark, M-A-R-K, M-A-C-D, and we have the A4Play Twitter, right. Which nobody follows.
No, some people follow A4Play. Yeah. Please follow A4Play.
You're better off following all of us individually.
Right. Every person who follows A4Play, we will donate a quarter into our own pockets.
Yes.
Yes, we'll do that.
Which we can't actually exchange and actually make money off
right,
of.
Because we're in Japan.
Right.
And so, otherwise, if you want to give us feedback, that's always a good way to do it on Twitter. You can... find the thread on the 1UP boards. A lot of times there's a Neo thread on neogaf.com about the latest episode of A4Play or 8-4.jp.
Yeah.
There's comments there feedback. On our website. Leave feedback. You can check out other things.
I think we're going to make feedback a regular thing from now on at least. So yes. Yeah, definitely now, please. We might even make a call for tweets or something, you know, a couple days before the next episode. But
yes.
The next episode is Monster Hunter centric. So if you have Monster Hunter related questions, yes. Hit us up.
And by all means, well, yeah, I say this again. If you don't care about Monster Hunter, avoid it. But if you are open to, yes. If you are bi-curious as far as Monster Hunter curious. If you are open to a new experience, if you are a college kid, perhaps. And looking to experiment. Yeah.
It should still at least be amusing. I mean,
kind of I think funny. It's going to be fun.
Yes. Yeah. But so that will be next week, December 3rd. And then 2 weeks after that, December 17th, will be our next proper show. And that will be a Super Famicom anniversary special. And then we're thinking about having one at the end of the year.
Two weeks after that, other
special guest.
Yeah, we won't mention who yet. Later. So, yeah.
So I think that's it for this episode. GP, why don't you sign us out with the our new slogan?
I don't know what our new slogan is.
Our new slogan is whatever. We basically tell the guest to come up
with.
Put him
on the spot. Yep.
Sign off. You would know this if you'd actually ever listen to the...
I listened to the first episode, but I maybe didn't make it to the end.
Yeah, wow. Maybe not.
I don't even listen to my own podcast. So.
I do.
Well, thank you. Well, no, I just want to... I don't want to give a slogan, but thank you for having me on.
That's not a good sign. No, you can't. You can't just... To get plug kiss our ass.
Keep ass gamer for life, bitches.
That was good. That's how you end the show. All right.
See you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.